Hello, fellow homebrewers. JP here, and I want to introduce to you the brand new Brew-Built X1 Conical Series available at More Beer. More Beer sells the highest standard in homebrewing equipment, and the Brew-Built Conicals are just that. They're made from mirror-polished 304 stainless steel, and they come with loads of features that you and I have been looking for. They have a full 2-inch bottom dump valve, which will eliminate your clogging issues, while the sturdy base includes 4 reinforced legs, just like those big pro tanks do. More Beer also carries the Brew-Built line of options and add-ons like casters, pressure kits, and even external glycol chillers. So you can find out more about the new Brew-Built X1 conical uni tanks by going over to morebeer.com for detailed videos on the entire line of Brew-Built conicals. You can trust Brew-Built with your next fermentation, and you can trust More Beer to find the right conical for you. Brew-Built at morebeer.com.
Home brewers, craft brewers, beer lovers, beer drinkers.
Get ready for an all-new experience in information exchange and beer culture.
Your only source for live beer radio that brings expert brewers from around the globe
right to your home.
You're not just listening to broadcasters. It's the Brewcasters
on the Brewing Network.
Welcome back to the Brewing Network. Another wonderful Sunday afternoon.
It is beautiful.
Johnny P's just getting to the studio from the Giants game.
Yes, they were up 3-1.
Attaboy.
Yeah.
Maybe you were good luck for us.
4-1. They won.
Now it's 4-1?
Yeah, final.
Sweet. We just got an update.
I love watching the sign language.
That was good. Studio sign language. This week on the show, we've got Christian, I want to say the last name right, is it Kazakov?
Yes, it is.
Christian Kazakov from Triple Rock Brewery in Berkeley, California, made it to the studio to hang out with us, so we're going to ask him all kinds of questions later as usual. You guys know the deal. I got some pre-questions from you guys this week, which I always like. Yes. That was awesome. We started that last week, and works out because the pre-questions are really well thought out, and these guys go and actually do research about you, Christian, before we even do. And then start asking their questions based on that. So that I thought that was pretty cool.
Right on.
They've got your criminal record, and we'll be talking about that a little later.
Okay.
So we're going to do that. And I think today's main discussion with you, we're going to talk, I think, a lot about the business of alehouses and how you survive as an alehouse. Mm-hmm. And I actually had just found out that you're also somewhat of a chef, aren't you?
Yes.
So I might get into some food pairing kind of thing, if that would be all right with you.
Yeah,
are you pretty good with that?
Sure.
All right, cool, because I'm really into that kind of stuff and cooking with beer.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't mind getting into that with you later, too.
No problem.
Also joining us in the studio today, we got Jason Petros, who is a home brewer extraordinaire. Works at B3 as well, like apparently half the planet in this neck of the woods.
Hello.
It's on.
Jay Pizzle.
Yeah. He doesn't want to be called by his full name. He's Jay Pizzle for the day. I don't know what that means.
Jason Petros is a little too, a little much of a...
little professional for you?
Yeah, exactly.
I have a feeling I'll be... that you're lucky today, John, because I think Jason's going to be my target of abuse today.
Hey, cool, thanks.
Appreciate it. So you get a vacation this week, and I'll abuse Jason for a while.
Making me feel vulnerable.
I do need to make a brief and sobering announcement, and in all seriousness. Dr. Scott's not with us today. He had a death in the family, and our hearts are with him. We apologize, to him, and we're sorry about that. And he sends his best. Just let us know that he couldn't be here, and is going to take care of that kind of stuff. So all your tech questions today will be fielded to Johnny P. But, Doc, if you're out there, wherever you are, we're thinking about you and wish you were with us, and we'll see you when things get better. So hang in there. Take care. And don't know what else to say about that. Just cheers to Doc and his family.
Yes.
So how about that? We're gonna tilt our glasses now.
No,
I'll get the microphone with it. There we go. Okay. So hopefully next week. Although I think Doc's going to Burning Man next week. If this thing doesn't hold him up, he's gonna go.
He's gonna let go there.
He's gonna go get a little relief next week at Burning Man. So although he won't be in the studio, I'm pretty sure he's gonna call us from Burning Man. And he'll sound just like he does in the studio because he'll be hammered and you know.
Do you really want that though?
Yeah,
I have Dr. Scott.
I really do.
Call you from the man.
I actually really want that. He'll be like setting fire to people at the time.
Yeah. And, hey, hold on a second.
Yeah. So that I'm looking forward to. Maybe you guys for next week's pre-questions want to ask Burning Man questions for Dr. Scott. Yeah. Ask things that he doesn't answer very well when he's hammered, which isn't much. He does pretty well when he's hammered. He just gives answers that are a lot longer.
Yeah.
I'll have to remind him that we're paying the phone bill. So there we go. Dr. Scott, we're with you. Okay. This week, we got a few things to talk about. I got a little news to get to, but I'm thinking that before that, the big topic of the day is that Daniela brewed her first beer yesterday. Yeah, yesterday and then last night. So, the chat room and the folks at home have been asking for it for a while, and she's been meaning to do it. We've just been busy around here, and finally got our act together. And what time did you start brewing last night?
No, I started around 9 o'clock, I think.
Is that what it was?
I finished at 3 in the morning. It was fun, though.
Yeah. We're nocturnal brewers around here. We never start at that 6 a.m. nonsense that John's always telling me about. Right. John and Dr. Scott always come in here and hey, got up at 5:30 this morning. I did my sparge by 7. I'm like, yeah? Nice. You are an idiot. You realize that there's a lot more hours in the day, right? But at 3 o'clock in the morning, I kind of was thinking that it might have been a smarter idea had you started earlier. You were pretty tired at that point, Daniela.
I was. I apologize for that.
I had to wake her up. I'm like, hey, it's time to pitch. Get up. I'm not pitching. This is your batch.
Excuse me. I'm the one who goes to work, too.
What's that supposed to mean? What's wrong with you? When do you guys get to chime in? Man.
This little black thing in front of me gives me...
What did you make?
Yeah, why don't we get into the details of your brew, Daniela? What'd you brew?
I brewed a malty brown ale with the B3 recipe, and it smells quite good, actually. Also, I was a little disappointed this morning because I thought the beer would be going crazy by then, but it wasn't. So I thought, oh my gosh, I did something wrong. Justin told me to do the wrong things.
It's automatically me, right? And you know what? That's how this whole beer is going to go. Anything that's wrong with it will be my fault, but all the parts that are great about it will be Daniela's
beer. Well, I found one mistake already.
Okay, go ahead.
That is that you did not tell me that I had to measure the temperature of that. What did you tell me, John? Of my mash. So I had to fight with John just over that.
But you did measure the temperature of your water that you put your mash into, and because we can't really like keep the temperature up, I'm not sure that it matters too much. You know what you started at when we put the mash in, and you weren't going to be able to change that anyway, and you're not going to be able to change it next time either. You brewed mini mash, right?
I did.
Okay, so you didn't do a... It's not all grain we're talking here where we have an extra bucket to really monitor that temperature.
Right.
So you did mini mash. Mm-hmm. What was the temperature of the water when you did put your mash in there?
I don't remember exactly. Something around 100 something.
Didn't you write this stuff down? Like, for example, on that piece of paper that's in front of your face?
You know what? Relax. Maybe. Don't worry. Have a homebrew, right?
Right.
Isn't that the story?
What are all those questions about?
Well,
it was the right temperature.
Was it?
Yeah.
How do you know? Because I told you?
No.
Because that's not a good way to know if it was the right temperature.
I know that. Don't worry.
All right. That's all you're going to say? It was the right temperature? People want to know this stuff.
What was your gravity?
She knows her gravity.
I know my gravity.
What was your gravity?
That's 1052. Which is not right either, because it's supposed to be between 1055 and 1065, but John just told me not to worry about it too much. It will be fine.
I told you the same thing. It happens in these kits that you brew, and especially when you're doing either extract or mini mash.
Right.
It is harder, I think, to reach your specific original gravity. Mm-hmm. It's definitely going to vary. I'll tell you, I've varied a heck of a lot more than that.
<I know. laughs>
So that's not
and
bad.
And your beers came out just fine, so maybe it's going to work out. My sparge temperature was 168.
168. John, is that good? He's giving us the thumbs up.
Thank you, John.
He doesn't have a microphone right now. 168's all right, right? Here's the thing about that. I didn't know how to have Daniela do that. Maybe you can help me out, because the first time I did Mini Mash, I did it at 170, and that's what I just read somewhere. But I think the second time I did it, John, you told me to go down to like 150. Does that sound right, or am I making things up? I'm making things up. I didn't hear that from you.
Yeah.
So what is 170 the proper temp then?
The threshold.
So give me the between 160 and 170? 165, 170. All right, so 168, you're right there. That was really good. Okay. And did you have fun while you were brewing?
Oh, my gosh. I had so much fun.
Yeah?
I had a good teacher, too. You were good.
Thanks.
You were very patient.
Until it all goes bad. And what's happening with your beer right now? You got it fermenting, right?
Yeah, I got it fermenting. It's stored in like a bucket full of ice right now because I'm supposed to keep it on a, you know, certain temperature. Mm-hmm. And we have not the equipment for doing that. So
right.
It's in a bucket full of ice. And I check the temperature every couple of hours to make sure that the beer is stored properly.
And what
temperature?
Because
I want it to be awesome.
It's. I think it. Might, what temp are you running? Let's see if it's if that's proper.
I think I'm like on 65 right now.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That I think that's just right, right, John?
I think I'm supposed to
Christian?
Be.
Christian, he's agreeing
yeah,
too.
65 is fine.
65 for a nice brown ale.
The recipe says I was supposed to be between 62 and 70. I don't want it to get too warm though, so 65.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That, you know what? You know what's? Let me tell you what's going to suck about this batch of beer. She's using all of my, I haven't brewed since like May, so I haven't gotten to use these new techniques that I picked up from the show, right? Like for example, the put the fermenter in the bucket of water, because my shit always ferments at like 73, 75 degrees, and I haven't gotten to use the bucket yet, so Daniela's getting to use the bucket technique. Definitely the two vial, you use two vials of yeast,
I
right?
I did, I made a yeast starter even.
Right, so you did a starter with two vials of yeast even, and it was going pretty well by the time you pitched. So she's got that going for her, the good fermentation going for her, the proper sparge temperature going for her. It's
what are you trying to do here? Are you trying to tell everybody that it's no problem if your beer is worse than mine because I got to use all this awesome equipment
didn't? I'm just
cry me a river, dude.
I'm just prefacing the fact that it's going to be awesome, and then you're gonna step on me all about how bad my beer is compared to yours.
Absolutely.
And I want to at least have something to say about it. That's all I'm doing here.
Daniela needs more mic time. Definitely. I love the... We have not the equipment. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Well,
we are definitely
you.
Poor and cheap brewers is what we are.
Yeah, but we are passionate brewers, so that's all that matters, right?
Yeah. Passionate with a garbage can full of ice.
It doesn't matter. That garbage can has done good for us in Lake Havasu this year.
Yeah, that's true.
To cool down our kegs and everything. Yeah. So I love that garbage can.
It's a good can.
It's a good can.
Still has remnants of Lake Havasu in it. And I don't mean sand either. Okay, so and does the chat room have any questions that you're raising?
Yeah, I'm answering them while I'm talking to you already.
Why don't you answer it on the air? What are they asking you about your beer?
Well, somebody just told me that I was really brave going mini-mesh for my first batch, actually, mm-hmm. which mm-hmm. I did not know.
That's true, because of having to monitor that temperature and you know, not screw it up.
But mini-mesh makes a lot of sense to me. As you explained it to me yesterday, I think it's a good way to go.
Yeah.
Explain to me mini-mesh.
You're asking me, Christian?
Yes.
I don't like you already. here's how I understand mini mash, and this is how I explain it to Daniela. This is what I think the benefits are. You have a little, not as much control as all grain, but you obviously have a bit more control over your sugars and your flavors and your colors, because you're getting virtually all of your color out of your mini mash grain. And your base malt is still in extract, as I understand it. So you're still using most of your base malt out of the extract, but you're getting some of your other, like in this particular batch, I think Daniela had some chocolate in there.
Mm-hmm.
So you're steeping the grain in
you
the
are.
Extract.
But you also steep grain in an extract batch, right?
Right.
But that's really, it's so little, such a small amount of grain, and you're really not pulling any fermentables out of that.
Pale malt in that that mini mash or that bag as well.
Correct.
Okay.
As I understand it. And as also some other flavoring things like the chocolate, mm-hmm. Little caraviennes in there, things like that. So
the main benefit is you can do wheat malt because you do have the base malt in there with the enzyme. So you can do things that need to be mashed normally.
Okay.
But still allow you to do extract batches like, you know, your Munich, your wheat, stuff
right.
like that. So you can tweak it out. You get a lot more broader range.
Right.
range of flavors by doing mini mash. And you don't need the extra equipment. You have your bottling bucket
right.
you know, and a big bag, and you're golden.
And that's what I love about it, too, is that it's really not much more difficult. It's an extra 45 minutes in the brew process, I think. You got to get your water to 170, and then you got to get your mash, and then you let it sit for a half hour, right? So it adds a little bit of time, but as far as difficulty and need for equipment, really not bad. You buy yourself a $5 bucket, and you're fine. So that's what I liked about it, and that's why Daniela wanted to do that sort of a beer anyway, the malty brown.
Yeah.
And I just thought, I think the best way to do a beer like that is to go mini mash, since we can't go all grain. So there you go. So you were happy about that?
I'm so excited about it.
Okay.
And I can't wait to try it, too.
Nice.
I just want it to be better than yours.
I know you do. I know that.
Well, but I appreciate your help. Thank you so much for that.
Sure. They were already asking for pictures on the forum today. They're like, all right, so are you going to post some pictures of it?
Yeah, and we made some pictures too, but then I passed out and I changed, so there's no pictures from me having the beer ready and everything, just from the beginning.
But even those beginning pictures, they're on film. The digital camera broke.
Yeah, that's true, but we can do it. Didn't you tell me that we can do it?
No, we can, but they wanted them up today, like before today's show. So I had to post, and I know they think I'm lying. They're like, hey, where's the pictures of Daniela before the show of her brewing last night? And my post is, well, the camera broke, so I can't put them up. And you know they think I'm lying to them.
Just sketch something. Stick figure, a little circle of steam coming out.
Yeah. Exactly. So it did break, though.
I think
we got one shot off, and it was a terrible, like, it hardly even came out. And
yeah, it was
broke.
Too dark.
So we went over to the regular camera. So we will get a picture gallery up, but it's not going to be till like Tuesday.
Yeah, so. Tuesday is probably a good estimate.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there you go. All right. Any other questions from them in the chat room that you want to say to listeners that aren't in the chat room?
No, they're just calling you a bitch.
I figured that. They're starting early this week.
They do.
All right, give John his microphone back.
I will.
Go to our chat room if you're not there yet. Just click the chat now button. It's the best way to get to us and to ask us questions. They come really quick. Daniela will take care of you and pass them on to me. You can also call 888-401-BEER if you want to ask our questions or us questions or Christian questions, or I don't know why you'd want to talk to Jason, but you could if you wanted to.
He's full of info.
I don't even want to talk to myself sometimes.
You do, though.
All the time.
So 888-401-BEER. There you go. Daniela, congratulations on your first brew. Hopefully you're going to win that competition and bring lots of notoriety to the Brewing Network. That's all I really care about.
Queen of beer.
No.
All
right. I got a little bit of news. Only a couple stories today. I just thought they were kind of interesting. A 420-pound man was charged with his second beer heist at the same store. How does a 420-pound guy get away? You know?
Very slowly.
Yeah, like, I guess he just, you know, powers through whatever gets in his way. This happened in Idaho, and I'm probably going to butcher the name of the city, but Pocatello, Idaho, or Pocatello, something like that.
All your listeners there are never going to listen again.
They're real angry. A 420-pound man was charged with felony robbery, accused of stealing beer from the same store he stole from in January, authorities said. Levi Timbana, I think I know him.
That's his name?
23, of Fort Hall, was accused of walking into the Cowboy Oil Store August 9th and taking a swing at a clerk who refused to sell him beer after hours. Well, he's kind of got a good reason. I hate it when you go to buy beer and it's 2:01 in the morning. Prosecutors say the clerk held Timbana at bay with a metal pipe until police arrived. It's a brave guy. Timbana's companion allegedly fled with two cases of beer. He was the lucky one. Police said that Timbana punched a different clerk at the store during a January beer heist. How fast could that punch really be moving toward you? You know?
There's a lot of weight behind that punch, though.
If it does get you, it's a good one, but you know what I'm saying? You could probably see that coming.
It's half beer.
The police said you have to wonder if he's done this before and got away with it because of his size. And I guess you do have to wonder that. If convicted of robbery, he could face up to life in prison because it would be felony robbery. He remains today in the Bannock County Jail in lieu of a $70,000 bond.
If he goes to prison, we should send him a homebrew book.
Yeah, serious.
How to make like orange juice ferment with your spit.
We could have helped you out, buddy.
That'd be good.
How much beer do you think a 400-pound man needs to steal in order for it to be worth it?
Case.
His friend got away with two cases, it said. So
probably Keystone Ice. So yeah. Probably not a lot. That's like, what, 6%?
If that. And whatever percent it is, I don't think it's real alcohol. It's sort of a different sort of alcohol. It's just junk is what it is. All right, and then the last story I have, I always like these stories. Beer causes a lot of trouble sometimes. This one is that this happened in South Africa. As many as 200 looters battled police all weekend, I think this was last weekend, in an attempt to take beer from a train wreck. And one woman was killed, South African police said. The train carrying 180,000 crates of beer from South Africa breweries derailed Friday night near Waterville Boven, east of Johannesburg. Police fired rubber bullets into the crowd. 6 people were arrested, and just 3 of the 500 missing cases were recovered. A 19-year-old was killed when she was run over by a truck, police said. And normally I would feel bad about that, but she was stealing anyway, so what are you going to do? She got run over. That's what happens when you steal.
Stealing beer.
Stealing beer. A lot of beer, too. That's a lot of cases. And of the 500 that missing, they didn't get too many back. So there's a lot of happy, drunken looters out there. you know, after that. 180,000 crates of beer. I might have, if a train wreck near here and there was a bunch of really good beer down there, I might go grab some. What are they going to do with it?
I wear a ski mask and everything.
They're just going to pick it up and throw it away, right? Yeah. They're not going to do anything with that.
Yeah.
Go take it.
You could drink it off the road.
And if you happen to get shot by a rubber bullet while you're at it, you know, you deserved it, right? I might go take it. All right, John, I got a question for you.
It's not for me, it's for JP.
Oh, it is? Oh, that's right, because you have your own, kit there, JP.
Oh, Christ.
What inspired your B3 Signature Series JP Imperial Porter?
You have to read the website. No, what inspired it? I like porters and stouts and such and Beck.
Okay, wait, thank you.
Thank you.
No, go ahead.
And I brewed it once, and I had a real big ass boil over. I lost half my batch or so. And it came out really good. We put it on at the shop back when we used to, you know, were free spirited and kind of back in our hippie days when we actually had taps on. And
you were allowed to drink at work?
Yeah. Well, no, we had taps.
Yeah. Just don't use them.
Yeah. Now we have a brewery. So no. And then put it on and everyone just loved it. It was awesome. So I just kind of tweaked the recipe and the guys helped me out and just kind of created it that way.
Okay.
So it was just a mistake.
And is it a big seller there at the B3, John? Jason?
Yeah, I think it is.
It does pretty well. We have a few people who says it's their favorite beer. So.
Is that right?
Yeah, actually, I had one guy tell me that another brewery, which will remain nameless, has an Imperial Porter out now, and they said it's exactly the same.
Okay,
huh, inspired them.
Weird.
Yeah,
right. I don't know. No, but it's a good kit. It's fun.
It's good, huh?
Yeah.
All right.
It's like what, 7%?
Actually, I haven't brewed it in like 2 years.
Oh, come on.
So you have no idea.
No.
You should brew that. You have a system now.
I do.
You have one of those sculpture dealies now?
I do, yeah. I brewed on it last night. First brew on it.
Yeah?
And, yeah, I brewed a saison.
A saison.
Because I also do not have equipment to temperature control. And,
Yeah,
I ended up busting a carboy, too.
One of the glass carboys.
How'd you do that?
We had a big discussion on here a couple months ago about that, too.
I had in the carboy parka, and if it wasn't in there, it would have exploded everyone out their nose. They've probably seen a carboy break, or especially full.
Yeah.
It would have gone into my leg, and I would have been hurting.
Right.
But I'm hurting in a different way, because I lost 4 gallons of beer.
Oh, man.
Again, with boil overs.
So you got to get one of those conical fermenters from them too. That you can put it all in one. Now let me ask you this: Does B3 just kick that thing down to you, or did you have to buy it?
No, I do have to pay for it.
You do.
We are a small company, so I do have to.
But you made nice arrangements to pay for it.
Yeah,
that's cool.
It's in negotiations.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
It's lame.
That he has to pay for it. It's lame. Really? You think that all your employees should just get him?
Well, yeah, he's been with them for like 7 years.
Oh, that's a good point.
Well, I'm not. I mean, I haven't paid for it yet.
Good.
It's in negotiations.
Yes.
So you might negotiate not paying for it? Is that what you're saying?
I'm going to try.
Or you're going to just like hope that everyone forgot that you took it.
Yeah. Well, maybe.
Well, 7 years. What's your job in the company? I've seen you there before, but I don't really know what you do.
I don't even know.
I pick on John a lot.
You have a role, right?
Yeah, I guess. I'm on the catalog. I'm doing the beer catalog right now. I do a lot of website updates, search new products.
Okay.
Put new kits in the database. Answer email, answer phone sometimes. Help in the showroom sometimes. Just kind of wear many hats. All of us wear so many hats. Except for John. John got promoted to one hat only.
Nice.
Which is awesome for him.
Any complaints about that hat, too?
Well, hell no. I love it now. I'm free man.
Nice.
Yeah.
But and you do some of the festivals and stuff for B3.
I do that, too, yeah. Which, I just came back from the Oregon Brewers Festival where
I saw
you.
Yeah, we got pictures of you on the site. That's who we're talking to. If you go to the gallery right now, I think there's one picture. He's there with
Jim and Tristan.
That's right, Jim and Tristan. Jim from Zymergy.
And
Tristan
Wookie's wife
B3.
Or girlfriend.
Is that who that was?
Yeah.
That's right. So you can get a picture of Jason if you want to put a face to the name there. And
I'm on the B3 forum.
Are you doing the GABF this year then?
Yep. I'm trying to get John to go, but for some reason John...
I'm going to Sigur Rós concert.
Oh yeah, the important stuff. So I'm doing GABF. Which you guys should come out. That'd be fun.
Yeah, we'd like to. I don't think it's going to happen. I started a new job, which sucks. I'm hoping that this is going to be my only job. It's not happening. No. And I don't think that they're going to let me out. So Although they might. It's a brew company that will remain unnamed, I think. I think that would be the safe way to do it. But it's a brewing company, so maybe they'll send me to it. Or not like send me to it, but be okay that I'm going, because it will, you know, further my knowledge for the company.
I'm sure they're
at least there. That's the angle I'm going to take.
Yeah.
Right?
Is your beer there, Christian?
Yes. Yeah, we're going to enter a barley wine and a strong pale ale.
Really? Yes. Mm-hmm. Are you going to go out to it with it?
No, actually, my assistant Bradley is going to be going out.
Okay.
I'm taking a year off.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was
a liver transplant. I'm still healing from the liver transplant.
Recovery from last year, huh? Yeah. If these festivals are anything like Portland, I got to take time off already too.
It's more. Well, Portland had 72 beers, last year they measured GABF, and if you walked it end to end, it's 5.5 miles of nothing but beer booths.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That's awesome. What about a little piece of heaven on earth?
They give you like a 2-ounce glass too, right?
They give you 2-ounce glass, but you don't have to buy those retarded tokens.
Okay.
So you can just go up and go, sample, please.
And they just drink give it to you?
Sample, please. Yeah. Because
free.
You pay like, I don't know, 20, 30 bucks probably for a 4-hour ticket, and you just go around, and it's pretty cool.
Was it you that was telling me that if you were to drink 2 ounces of every beer in there, it'd be like 6 cases of beer
in
a night or something?
I wouldn't doubt it. But it's, you know, the Saturday night tasting is, you know, if you're into beer, don't go, because it's kind of just a drunk fest.
Yeah.
You know, but it's a lot of fun, you know,
and then the
bars around have different things going on at night. So it's just wall-to-wall beer for 5 days.
Gotcha. Yeah, Dr. Scott took me to a strip club afterwards like 3 years ago.
Oh, did you go to Mary's?
Nice.
I don't know. I don't remember.
Very nice.
So,
I'd like to go to a festival with Dr. Scott.
Yeah, GABF.
That'd be a good time.
When Dr. Scott gets loose, he spoils. It's fun.
Attaboy. How about a question, since you mentioned your saison, Jason, but any one of you could answer this. Someone wants to know, is sour mashing a part of traditional lambic? Anybody know?
Sour mash would probably be open mashing, is my guess.
Mm-hmm.
So you would let some wild yeast or bacteria come into the mash while you're actually hot.
Right.
Now you definitely inoculate. You know, there are people that do. I don't know that.
I would, from even just talking to John and some of the readings, I don't know that it's the traditional lambic process, but it is a traditional lambic process to kind of leave it out and get it stinky.
Well, Vinny was talking about just... They have those vats where all the bacteria is harbored in the farmhouse.
Right.
Just
leaving it right in the farmhouse.
That's where it's inoculated. Yeah.
But sour mash is a different process, right. I think, because it's like 150-ish or so. So I wonder,
can anything survive?
You have to cool it down. I don't know. That's a good question.
Hmm.
I got a question for you, too, already, Christian, even though we haven't talked about what you serve there.
Sure.
Someone wants to know if you serve other type of brews there, like lambic, meads, or cider.
We have Two Rivers Cider.
You do? Okay.
Yeah, that's about it as far as the other guest taps are.
We're going to try to get a hold of Two Rivers to get in here, actually, I think, for our cider show, which is...
Morgan knows him.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so he can...
Oh, there we go.
Phone number, so...
All right, we'll work on that.
How many beers do you have on tap at Triple Rock?
Right now... Actually, over the week, I think I ran out of a few of them over the weekend. I think there's about 6 or 7 on tap right now. Right.
And they're all yours except for the Two Rivers?
Except for the Two Rivers,
right. Okay. Mm-hmm. Very
now,
nice.
Now, do you make up the recipes yourself, or were they already pre-made?
Most of them were pretty much passed down to me, but I've tweaked them all since I've been with them, and I've come up with a couple of them.
Okay. And how long have you been with them?
Oh, God. It'll be 10 years in November now.
Really?
Nice.
Awesome.
Yeah.
It's like a nice pub.
Is that nice? Oh, we're saying nice, but it might suck. Is that good?
It's all right. I'm not complaining.
Okay.
Brew for beer for a living.
Exactly.
All right. Here's what we got to do. We got to take a quick break. Let me make an announcement so we can set up when we come back. We're going to do Jeopardy when we come back. You guys know the way it works. We're going to have each of our three players in here, which is going to be John, Christian, and Jason. You're each going to play for a listener at home.
Yeah, I'm bringing it. I'm going to come back today.
And then I'm going to take a caller, too. I like to have the fourth player be a caller. So, first of all, the phone number is 888-401-BEER. If you want to play, we will be giving away a prize. I don't know what. Something. Right, John?
Yeah, we got plenty.
We got Brewing Network shirts coming, so we can give away some Brewing Network shirts. How about that?
Let's do it.
We forgot to tell you to bring prizes, didn't we, Christian?
Actually, you guys did mention that. I just forgot to bring them.
How about this? We could still give it away, and then I'll just get it from you and ship it. Can we do that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so maybe, what do you got? Like a shirt and a hat or something? Okay, we'll give away a shirt also.
Shirts or beard certificates if they want, if they're going to come in.
If they're local. Okay. All right, so there you go. So I got a couple things to give away, and then we'll do Stump the Brewer later, of course. Don't send me those questions yet, but go ahead and think about it amongst yourselves, and we'll do Stump the Brew. We'll give a prize for that. So when we come back, we're going to do Beer Jeopardy. I need a caller. It's 888-401-BEER. And then listeners in the chat room, you know the routine. The first three to say a name right now, either John, Christian, or Jason, those are the guys who are going to play for you. If they win, you get the prize. So you know how it works. All right, we'll be right back. I don't have a song ready, so now I got to take a second to find one.
I can sing to you if you'd like.
Do that, Jason.
Here we go now.
John had a little.
All right, that's enough. Okay. We'll be right back. 888-401-BEER. It's the Brewing Network. We're here with Christian Kazakoff from Triple Rock Brewery in Berkeley, California. Give us about 5 minutes.
The Brewing Network, saving your life, one beer at a time.
All right, we're back and ready to get some Jeopardy started. John's favorite intro, of course.
Yeah.
We didn't get a caller yet for the Jeopardy. People are shying away today, huh? Nobody wants a little free prize. It's 888-401-BEER.
Beer game.
So I'll give you a couple minutes as I'm setting it up. If you call in, you get to play. All you got to do is hang out on the telephone and play a little Beer Jeopardy. If that doesn't work out, we're probably going to get Aaron, who just joined us in the studio. Aaron is our webmaster. Well, I should say Aaron's probably my co-webmaster, right? Would that work, Aaron? Is that fine?
Yeah. You're the guy now.
Basically, Jay. Aaron, anytime now that I'm stumped, I go crying to Aaron. And Aaron's like, all right, I can totally help you. And much help if the site wouldn't be up if it wasn't for Aaron. So he's hanging with us. And if I don't get a caller, he's going to be our fourth player. So there you go, 888-401-BEER. I'll describe the categories and how the game's played and give you guys a chance to call in if you want to play. Daniela, did we get people in the chat room to name their players, though? We did. Okay. We're going to have them name Aaron in a second, I guess, if we don't get a caller. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. Here's your categories for today. It's played much like the style of Jeopardy, except that you don't have to answer in question form or anything like that. But it's got four categories. Each question ranges from 100 to 500 points in each category. And then I'm going to have a bonus round. And the bonus round is going to be a little tough this time. It's one question, and I'm going to go full-on Jeopardy style this time around. So I usually don't do this, but we're going to have two winners that get to move on to the bonus round. That's the way it does usually work. But you're going to have to give an answer to the bonus question, and you're going to have to wager your points, which I don't normally do, but I'm going to do it this time because it's a bit more difficult of a question. So you're going to have to wager your points. So, you know, figure it out when you get to the end how much you want to wager if you know the question, blah, blah, blah. So there you go. So, other than that, you just pick the four categories. You're each going to need to make either some sort of a sound effect or say your name. I don't care. Jason, although I'm going to make you do a sound effect because I just think it'd be funny to make you look dumb.
Give me a couple of seconds.
Okay. So you just think of it, and that's how you buzz in here. And if we do get a caller, but it looks like maybe we won't. I wonder if did we not pay the phone bill? It's very possible we didn't pay the phone bill, but I think we did. That would suck if we did. But they would have let us know in the chat room already. If
the
it was
chat
like
room wants Crotch to call in.
They want Crotch?
Yeah. They are
Crotch
all rooting for Crotch, and so am I.
Well, what's
Come
he
on,
saying?
Crotch. Call
so
him, please.
I.
Is he
I don't
saying
know
he doesn't want to play? I love it when a bunch of guys are sitting around rooting for Crotch Rock. Yeah. You know
Come
what I'm
on,
saying?
Crotch, call in now, please. Call me.
He's saying in there that he doesn't want to play.
1-888-401-BEER.
Okay, we'll give him a second. Yeah. Your categories today are, and if you are going to play Crotch, start writing these down. Beer games, beer not from here, beer made me say it, and hey, that's not beer, man.
Right.
I brought that one back from an old show by popular demand. It was a fun one. The phone rang, but he wasn't there. Is that what's happening?
He hung up on me.
All right, well, we're going to go to Aaron here in a second. We'll give him another minute to call back. So those are your categories. I think the hey, that's not beer, man, that's just a yes or no question one. And I'm wondering if I should make you, yeah, if you buzz in on that one, because you get a 50-50% chance of getting the answer right. You will lose points for losing. All the other categories you don't lose. You can take a stab at it for free, basically, and you don't lose points. But the hey, that's not beer, man. If you get it wrong, I'm deducting the value of the question because it's a yes or no answer, and I don't want you all just buzzing in and saying yes. You know what I'm saying? So there we go. Beer games, beer not from here, beer made me say it, and hey, that's not beer, man. And I don't know if Christian's having trouble with the phone or what, but I think I'm going to go ahead and start it. without him. All right, so someone needs to pick Aaron in the chat room. First person to say Aaron, that's who you get. So our contestants today, of course, are John, Christian from Triple Rock Brewery. The phone's ringing, so maybe not Aaron, and Jason from B3. Is that the boy?
Okay, you're the player. I'll
okay.
Justin.
All right, go ahead. Hang on. Crotchrod, are you there?
Oh, what's up, man?
All right, now you can't say Christian because there's another Christian in the room, so you're going to have to go by Crotch today.
That's fine.
All right. What, you didn't want to play or something? You get free stuff, man.
I was trying to give somebody else a chance to buzz in, but, you know.
Yeah, that's all right. Hey, they didn't want to play. Listen, and if you're worried about who you're going to beat, you know you can beat John, right? We've all heard him play this game before. So you'll be fine. Okay, so give John his microphone back so that he can buzz in. And does Crotch already have someone he's playing for, or is he going to play for himself?
Yeah, for himself.
All right, you play for yourself, Crotch.
Whatever.
All right. Everybody else has somebody. Aaron, you just get to hang out. Maybe you can help Petros or something if he needs help. If you know the answer. Okay. I think the way I usually like to do this is to give the guest control of the board to start. You don't have to pick the numbers in order. Crotch, did you get the categories?
No, I didn't. I was going into the back to grab my cell phone. It was on a charger.
All right. You got a pen?
No, but I'll just remember.
You remember. You got beer games, beer uh-huh. not from here. Beer okay. made me say it, and hey, that's not beer, man.
Okay.
All right. Christian?
Beer made me say it. beer made me say it for 100.
You don't get to pick first. I just was making sure you know the categories.
Okay.
You're going to be Crotch. Every time I say Christian, it's our guest today, because he's Christian
okay.
also. Christian, I'm giving you control of the board, because you're our guest today.
Okay.
You don't have to pick an order, any category, any number. Go ahead.
Sounded good. Okay. The beer made me say it for 100.
Okay. Christian's picking beer made me say it for 100 points. What person is quoted to say this? Beer is proof that God loves us and wants
Jonathan
us to be happy. John buzzed in first, I
Benjamin
think.
Benjamin Franklin.
Benjamin Franklin, that's true. 100 points for John. Danielle, are you taking this down?
Nice.
Wow, John early on the board. That's weird. And you get control of it. Go ahead, John.
Beer made me say it for 200.
Oh, confident in your quotations now, are you?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
That's
this person said... An intelligent man is sometimes forced to be drunk to spend time with the fools he must come in contact with every day.
Jonathan.
Go ahead, John.
Ernest Hemingway.
What, have you been reading up your beer quotes book?
No.
You got it. That's 200 points for Jonathan. You don't even know how to read, do you?
What was that?
All right, John retains control of the board. Go ahead, please.
300. All beer right. made me say it.
Taking beer made me say it for 300. I would kill everyone in this room.
Clang.
Jason Petros.
Homer Simpson.
You are correct. The quote is, I would kill everyone in this room for a drop of sweet beer. I'll tell you what, as soon as I picked up this question, I knew Petros was going to answer that. All right, that's 300 points for you, which already makes you tied with John, and you have control of the board, Jason.
Well, I work less hard than John. Still end up at the same level. Let's go... Beer not from here for 200, please.
Okay, 200. Skipping over the 100. This winter wonderland country produces Hansa Pilsen, its most popular beer. Hansa Pilsen.
Crotch.
Go ahead, Crotch.
Sweden?
No, sir. The other winter wonderland.
Clang.
Go ahead.
Germany?
No, sir. The other winter wonderland.
Austria?
No, sir. John? You want to take a stab at just anything? You're the last guy.
Anything. I don't know. Belgium?
Norway. Norway produces Hansa Pilsen. Aaron, did you know it?
Yeah.
Ah. Okay.
Hey, Aaron.
Nobody
right
gets
here.
It, but Petros keeps control of the board.
Oh,
go
sweet.
Ahead, please.
Well, let's move on.
Okay.
What do you think? Beard made me say it for 400, please.
Okay. Going back to the quotations. I feel sorry for people who don't drink.
Clang.
Go ahead.
Dean Martin.
No, sir.
Oh.
You're close.
Can you finish this?
I feel
please?
Sorry for people who don't drink. When they wake up in the morning, that's as good as they're going to feel all day.
Frank Sinatra.
Christian, you got it.
Yeah. Is there
Frank
a difference,
Sinatra.
Really? Dean Martin, Frank Sinatra.
It's one of those. It's like the Janet Jackson, Michael Jackson conspiracy.
Yeah.
They're the same person. All right, that gives you control of the board.
Let's finish it out.
Okay, 500 is going to finish out the beer made me say it question. A woman drove me to drink.
Clang.
And I Go ahead.
W.C. Fields.
Correct. The quote is, "A woman drove me to drink, and I didn't even have the decency to thank her."
That's an awesome thing, because everyone in the forums has all these little quotes as their signatures. So it's
okay,
like,
yeah.
But John doesn't go into the forum at all. So
actually, I knew those first two answers from our own forum.
That's 500 points for Jason Petros, and he gives him control of the board.
Hey, that's not beer, man, for 100.
Okay, top of the category. Okay, so here's the deal. This is the one I told you. If you buzz in, you're actually risking your points. I will deduct 100 points for a wrong answer. And all you're doing is saying, is this a real beer or it's not a real beer? Crotch, you remember this category?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I remember it.
Big-breasted barley wine.
Crotch.
Go ahead, Crotch.
Real.
No, that's actually false. That's a false one.
I like the name,
I made it up today because I thought it'd be a great sound in barley wine.
Big-breasted barley wine.
So we had to deduct 100 points from Crotch, which leaves him at, what, negative?
Negative 100.
Negative 100. But I'll give you control of the board for giving it a stab.
Same. Mm-hmm.
200 points?
What do you got to lose?
Yeah.
Okay. Zulu Zigzag. Zulu Zigzag.
Can we get a style on that, maybe?
You can't. That's all I know. It's the name of the beer. Zulu. Go ahead, Crotch.
I'll say it's real.
That is real. That's a real beer. It's made in South Africa. It's called Zulu Zigzag. Go figure. 200 points for Crotch, which puts you back in the positive, and you still have control of the board.
And we'll keep going.
Okay, 300 points. Hey, that's not beer, man. Patty's Menstruation Red.
Oh, no.
No. Well,
we had multiple no's. All right, I'll give everybody 300 points. It's definitely not a beer. Although, if I ever made a red beer, that's what I would name it. Menstruation
you're
Red.
You're the old man. Oh, God.
I'm
sure
let's
the ATF
see.
Would love that one.
John, we'll give you control of the board. What the hell?
Same one, 400.
All right. Hey, that's not beer, man, for 400. Monkey Knife Fight. Monkey Knife Fight. Make sure you buzz in your name before giving the answer this time, so I don't have to give points to everybody.
Jonathan, yes!
That's true. Monkey Knife Fight is a brew brewed by Notting Head Brewing in Philadelphia. That's 400 points for you, John. And you get control of the board.
We'll do the same one for 500.
All right, it's going to clear the category. Moose drool.
Yes. Christian.
Christian was right there. Yes. Have you had this beer?
Yes.
That's a good beer.
Big Sky Brewing in Missoula, Montana. Yep. Moose drool. All right. 500 points puts you on the board, and you have control.
I got to remember to say my name before I can.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. Mm. Let's try the beer games for 300.
Beer games for 300. This two-man game of champions forces you to paddle a ping-pong ball. Go ahead.
Beer pong.
Beer pong is correct. You must paddle a ping-pong ball into your opponent's cup. If you listened a couple weeks ago, we actually did a news report on beer pong being banned in New Jersey. Whoa. Jason Petros, go ahead.
You see an influx of people leaving New Jersey.
yeah. Crotch, there's only two categories left, by the way.
Beer game. Beer games for 100, please. I'm not as ballsy.
Beer games for 100. This keg party favorite involves bouncing coins off a surface. Go ahead, Jason.
What is quarters?
That is
what
right.
are quarters?
That's fine. You don't even have to do it in question form.
Okay.
Bouncing coins off a surface and into a glass. Apparently, Jason was a frat boy. You remain in control of the board.
For my frat brothers, I'm going to have to go beer games for 200, dude.
Okay. Dominating the category, this team sport, like softball...
Christian.
Go ahead, Christian.
Sloshball.
That's correct. Will not allow you to round the bases until you've consumed a beer at each one. That's 200 points for Christian, and you have control of the board.
Let's go with beer games for 400.
All right, here we go. This college favorite requires you to drink a shot of beer every minute for 100 minutes.
Whoa. That sucks.
It's rough.
Natural Light or whatever.
I think that's what I was drinking last time I played it.
Like alcohol poisoning galore.
It goes by a couple of names usually. There is one popular one, so I'll be a little lenient. But you must drink a shot of beer every minute for 100 minutes. Anybody?
Shot of
beer? Christian, pass out?
No, sir. Century Club. That is a good guess. Pass that, but I'm not going to give it to you. Century Club.
Blood because, alcohol poisoning club.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it is. And I played it like when I was in high school was the last time I did it. And you get to about 50 or 60, and you have to go unload so that you can fit the other 40 or so in.
Oh,
so
okay.
It involved a lot of puking and then continuing drinking. Christian, I'll give you control of the board.
How about Beer Not From Here for 100?
Okay. Beer Not From Here, 100 points. Baltica beer is the number one beer in this massive country.
Christian,
go ahead. Russia, that's correct. It's the number one beer in Russia, Baltica. 100 points for you, and you retain control of the board.
For 300.
Okay, Beer Not From Here for 300 points. Singa beer is brewed, bottled, and served in what Asian country? Jason, go ahead.
China.
No, sir.
Crotch.
Go ahead, Crotch Rod.
Japan.
No, sir.
Christian. Thailand.
Thailand is correct. Wow. Singa beer is apparently really bad and brewed in Thailand.
A friend of mine just got back from Thailand last week and brought me a bottle of it.
Wow.
We're still sitting on it.
Yeah. I read about it today, and it was from a person who an American who lives there and sort of runs a website to how to visit Thailand and what you should do and not do. And he evaluated a bunch of the beers that you can get there, and that was one of them. And he said, man, it's just plain bad. Go ahead, Christian. You still
all
have control
right,
of the board.
Do that for 400.
400 points. What European country, struggling to enter the European Union, produces FS Pilsen?
Christian.
Go ahead, Christian.
Turkey.
That's correct. Turkey. Brewed in Izmir, Turkey. Have you had that?
No.
Just
the EU part gave it away.
That's what got you. See, whenever the tough ones, I always feel like I have to give an extra hint. Otherwise, we're all just going to sit here and look at each other all night long. Another 400 points for you. You're dominating
the
board.
Let's do Beer Not From Here for 5.
Okay, that's going to clear out the category. What island country off the mainland of India produces Lion Lager?
Christian.
Go ahead.
Sri Lanka.
Did you get that off my geography?
Yes.
Or what are you, some kind of a brainiac brewer over there? That's more. It's 500 more points. The last question on the board is, this beer-related card game sets up a hierarchy among players around the table, leaving the lowest person to do most of the drinking. Go ahead.
Bullshit.
I'll give it to you. Also known as asshole.
Yeah.
So that's another 500 points for Christian. Who is in second place, Daniela?
I don't know yet.
She's going to have to add up the points and see who gets to go to the bonus round.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Christian can afford to wager almost all his points and still be in the lead with that last little reign of terror.
I was so quiet in the beginning.
Mm. Crotch, I don't think you did so well. Did you hang up? You did so bad?
Sounds like he's
yes, he did.
Oh,
like, I am out of here. Crotch Rock, call back if you just got disconnected. I want to know what your thoughts are about your poor performance.
And then hang up again.
Yeah. All right, so Danielle is figuring out who our winners are. We're going to get two people to wager against this last question, and they will win a Brewing Network T-shirt. Yeah, that's all.
That's it.
Who is Christian playing for anyway? Danielle. Who's Christian playing for?
He was playing for Daryl.
Daryl?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Gucci? Okay. No,
yeah.
That's Darren.
It's Daryl here in the chat room.
Okay.
Okay, I figured it out.
All right, who do we got here?
We got Christian, of course, with 3,200 points.
Oh, my God.
All right.
Followed by Jason with 1,500 points.
Hey, Jason.
John did not suck the most.
Wow.
Aren't we amazed?
I broke 500.
Very nice.
Well, barely, but you did.
All right. And then who's Jason playing for?
Jason is playing for Matt, actually.
All right. Matt.
Oh, I don't want to. Matt. Don't you have to clean a boat?
What did I do with my bonus question?
I'm just kidding. I love Matt.
I think I got buried under this pile of nonsense. Oh, this is no good. Daniela, you covered up my bonus question.
Hey, nice organizational skills.
Yeah, dude.
Mm. I was organized till she got in the way.
Hey, he's calling back.
Man. Yeah, put Christian on the air for a second while I find my bonus question. Might just have to give it away. It was right here.
Hello.
It was another quote, too.
Hello.
Oh,
dude.
Damn. Yeah. It was a tough quote, though.
So, you know, Justin, we have really major problems with the phone here because I can't hear anybody. So I think Crutch got disconnected and this person just called in, and I assume that was Crutch. I didn't hear him either. So I apologize for that.
What do you want from me? I don't care.
Are you angry at me now?
Yeah, because you covered up my thing. It's gone. Oh, okay. I got it. By the way, the phone sounds like it's on to me. Answer. Okay. Here we go. For the bonus, you guys get to wager your points and figure out who you're going to have to wager it all to have any chance at all, right, Jason?
Well, yeah,
so I think we know what you're doing, and then Christian, you can either, you know, you get to win either way, really. If Jason
I'll wager
gets it,
that.
Don't you?
I'll wager half of them.
All right.
I think if I go out, then you'll go ahead. So the
quote is: "Always remember that I have taken more out of alcohol than alcohol has taken out of me." All right, I'll give you guys a second to think about that while I talk to Crotch. Is he there?
Crotch, you there?
Crotch. I got him on here. Go ahead and hang up the phone there. Crotch, are you there?
What's up, man?
Did we hang up on you or you hung up on us?
My phone died. Remember, I had to go get it off the charger in the back. I didn't have a whole lot of battery left. I got it plugged into the charger now.
Gotcha. Well, you lost, buddy.
Yeah, I know.
And it was a pretty dismal showing, if I don't say so myself.
Hey, I'm proud of it.
Well, that's cool. All right, well, thanks for playing, though.
Hey, thanks, guys.
All right, we'll catch you later.
Later, bye.
All right, are you guys ready over there? Or what do you think? Have you got answers and wagers?
No.
No, Jason. Christian, are you ready to give an answer?
You
want me to give the quote again?
Yeah, I'd like to hear that.
Okay. Again. "Always remember that I have taken more out of alcohol than alcohol has taken out of me." Jason, you look like you've heard this, but you can't put your finger on it.
Yes.
I'm going to say Charlie Papazian. I don't know why.
And how many points did you wager for that answer?
All of them. One.
You have to wager them all, because either way you're going to lose.
Well, then
them.
How did he wager half?
Because he had,
see, I was
like,
to play
you had 1,500 and he had 3,500.
Yeah, so but if I wager one and he wagered half, then he would
I still win. Yeah, he would still win.
Well, then I'm going to do them all. That's what I said, right?
Yes.
Okay.
You're wrong. You're left with nothing.
Thank you.
And how much you decided to wager half, so you're a winner. What's the answer,
Christian?
I was
going to say Mickey Mantle.
Okay. Winston Churchill. It was Winston Churchill. Yeah, that's right.
Shoot, I need that.
Jason, you can do the walk of shame now. You're left with nothing.
Yeah, well.
But you did make it to the bonus round, so congratulations.
I did better than John, and it sounds like I did better than John on my first try.
You did.
John
yeah, that's all true. All very true. All right, so Christian has won, which means that Daryl in the chat room gets a Brewing Network t-shirt. Daniela, please instruct him how he's going to get it.
Congratulations, Daryl.
All right, yeah.
Can I just say, Matt, I'll buy your beer at JJ.
There you go. That's your consolation prize, buddy. All right, so there you have it. We're going to take a quick break this time so that we can refill our beers and pee. By the way, I'm already drinking the Triple Rock Pale Ale.
That's great.
Pinnacle Pale Ale.
It's called the Pinnacle Pale. It's really smooth and an easy drinker. Mm-hmm. Light color. Definitely, you know, not one of these darker pale ales. Mm-hmm.
It's very like a biscuity kind of. Mm-hmm. I love that.
It's a little bit of the animal that probably gives that.
Yeah, it's crispy. I like it a lot.
It's also a little flowery, not aroma flowery, but taste flowery. What's the hop you're doing in here?
I finish them with Mount Hood.
Okay. Mm. All right. And how many different types of hops are in this altogether?
Three. I use Galena's in the bittering, and then Chinook in the character, and then I finish it with Mount Hood's. Hmm.
All right. I think it's the Chinook I taste more than the Mount Hood in that. It's a good beer. Really easy drinking, which is what I kind of like
about
it.
It's only about 4.5. Mm.
No, this is my beer then.
Yeah. You saying you're lightweight, Jason?
Well, no.
Hardly.
It's not that. It's just that I'm a lightweight. All right, so we're going to take a break, and then when we come back, we're going to do I think we'll just go straight to the interview because I already got questions in front of me for you, Christian. So people want to know a lot about how you get into the alehouse business and how you keep it that way, and we're going to get right into it. So give us, I'm going to say two songs long enough to refill and come right back. It's the Brewing Network. Christian Kazikoff from Triple Rock Breweries with us today.
You're listening.
listening to a bunch of guys talk about beer. The Brewcasters.
On the Brewing Network.
It is the Sunday Brewcaster Show, and we're here with Christian Kazikoff from Triple Rock Brewery, which is out of Berkeley, California.
Berkeley.
Berkeley.
Yeah, there you go. Killer pale, man.
Thanks. Yeah, it is a great pale. We're going to have to finish that off and move on to the next.
It's already done.
It is done? Yeah. All right, perfect, because I'm getting ready for another one. You brought three beers with you today, right, Christian? What else did you bring?
I brought Red Rock Ale and Dragon's Milk.
Okay.
What is Dragon's Milk?
Dragon's Milk is a dry-hopped dark brown.
Okay, nice.
A mistake beer that turned into one of our flagships.
Oh, okay. Nice. Now, how many? I was looking through your website. A lot of times, when we have a guest come on, we kind of look through their repertoire of beer and
website out that hasn't been updated in like 5 years.
Is that what it is? Okay,
really?
Although it's not a bad looking website.
It's all right.
We usually try to figure a style that they, you know, might consider a specialty of theirs, and sort of you know, around the show around that.
Mm-hmm.
But you guys brew so many different styles of beer, at least according to the site, that I didn't really know where to begin. So I actually thought you guys don't really distribute your beer, right?
Not very often. Not very much.
You're mostly just an ale house there, which I thought then, you know, it would be another great discussion for folks who are interested in how you get started like that, and just the fact that as an ale house, it kind of let John go off with a few questions about how you brew that many things throughout the year as one ale house. So I think that's the kind of thing that we want to get into with you. But a little background, first of all, how long have you been brewing, and then kind of include your homebrew years with
you? Altogether, about 8 years.
8 years.
I started working at Triple Rock almost 10 years ago, and I started in the kitchen.
Okay.
And I was going to school to learn how to be a chef and all that. Just one thing led to another. The brewer there at the time taught me, or got me into home brewing, and I've then started some volunteering some time in the brewery, helping them clean kegs and you know, do whatnot, and then one thing led to another. You know, he left to go start a place in Fisherman's Wharf, and then the guy that was next in line for the assistant job took a job with Pyramid. And then I stepped in and said, you know what, I'll do this.
Nice.
This sounds fun.
Okay.
This sounds, you know, a little more rewarding.
And you've been there then since?
And ever since, yeah.
Did you have any initial huge failures, big batches that went wrong?
I mean, I've dumped batches. It happens, maybe once every couple of years.
You have
to let one go.
Right.
And how much do you dump?
We're 7 barrels, so it's about, it's 217 gallons.
Okay.
You know?
Now,
which is really small compared to even most of the brew pubs that are opening up now.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Now, would you say that your beer has grown quality wise milestones since then? You know, were you brewing bad beer in the beginning?
No. I was brewing the beer that I was taught to brew by the guys that I was that I was learning under. But then, I started developing my own ways of doing things.
Okay.
Sure. I think my beer tastes better now than it did, you know, 4 years ago. Sure.
Okay. Gotcha. And then, you obviously stepped right out of the kitchen. Are you still involved with the running of the ale house kind of thing, and how the kitchen
I
works?
I might have
that kind of thing?
Little input on, you know, what they might cook.
Okay.
Occasionally, but
gotcha.
That's their bag, man.
Okay. Do they use your beer in their kitchen?
Yeah, they do. They use it in, you know, chilies and, you know, marinades and whatever.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
Now, what are you guys? Are you mostly a bar, mostly a restaurant, a little bit of each? I've not been to the place.
Trying to do more of the restaurant than the bar now.
Okay.
They've, I guess, kind of dressed it up a little bit more than what it used to be. Before, it was pretty much just beer, and then you'd walk up to a booth and order some nachos and go to your table and have somebody drop it off there. Now, we're a full-service restaurant.
Okay.
And since we've done that, food sales have gone up dramatically.
Okay. So you started, though, Triple Rock started as a brewery slash ale house.
Mm-hmm.
That was the point of starting the thing. And when was that?
It opened March, forgive me, Jaime, March 14th, 1986. It's either 14th or the 17th. It's one of the two.
Okay.
It was under the name of Roaring Rock when it first opened.
Okay. Roaring?
Roaring Rock. Yeah, it kind of it doesn't roll very well. But anyway, the name didn't last very long anyway, because there was a girl that was going to Cal at the time that went into the pub and and just happened to be that her father was a big wig for Rolling Rock Brewing Company, and she called up and said, "Hey, Dad, check this out." And yeah. they sicked some lawyers on the place, and they ended up changing the name
gotcha.
To Triple Rock, which was a campus contest. They had students on campus come up with the name
okay.
Of the brewery, and there were only three beers on tap at the time, and they kind of had this rock thing going for them, so they just called it Triple Rock.
Okay, gotcha. Cool. Mm-hmm. All right, a couple of questions from the chat room about the Ale House coming in here. What's your current output? You know, well, you said that you do 15 barrels when you
or seven batches.
Barrels, sorry, seven yeah. barrel batches. But what about for a year? How much?
We average about 1,000 barrels a year.
Okay, all right, and all of that served on site or
about 99% of it. 99%. We have a couple of accounts in Oakland, and that's you know okay. a keg every couple of weeks to those guys. That's about it.
So nothing bottled. It's just you might distribute a keg or so.
We actually are doing limited bottling, but just for now, it's just for in-house consumption.
Okay.
We have this it's called Monkey Head Night on Thursdays, where we serve this really strong pale ale in a 1 liter bottle with a crazy picture of a screaming monkey on it.
And, nice.
Cool. And yeah, kids are digging it. So
I would dig that. When is it again?
It's on Thursdays.
I'm there.
Yeah.
That sounds
and,
great.
You just big liter bottle. At first, the idea was you know you get this big liter bottle, you share with the friends, but now it's 1 liter per customer.
Oh, of course.
Now.
And what's the cost of that 1 liter
that's
per
actually,
customer?
They're pretty reasonable. It's only $8.
Mm.
Wow.
Yeah.
For a liter
for
of beer,
you can 8% beer. You know.
You get the bottle too. That's
yeah.
a good plus.
Yeah, you yeah. get the bottle after 10. You get this card stamped or whatever. You know.
Oh, you don't get
they
to keep
they
the bottle.
They want you to keep coming back to drink more of it.
What if you do your 10 in the same night?
Oh, that's happened. I mean, not per one person, but for a table, sure.
And then they get
that.
To keep
yeah,
it.
Somebody gets to.
They have an ambulance station.
I want to be the first person to do the 10 in one night as one person.
ER room one.
And you also get a monkey head T-shirt with it and all that too.
What time does it start and what time does it end?
It starts when we open at 11:30 and it ends until all the beer's gone.
Dude, well, see, cool. I can do that. I can do it. 10 liters, right? That's it. I can easily do it from 11:30
without
to what?
Vomiting.
What are we talking about? Like 12, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, the bar closes?
Yeah. It's usually around midnight
it's like
on Monkey Night.
13 hours for 8 liters? That's 10 liters.
10 liters. 10 liters.
What's the
Daniela says that she can do that.
yeah. Usually they start at about 19 Play-Doh.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't go by specific gravity.
You're gonna,
I like
you're
whole numbers.
What's the Play-Doh? You're going to do 8 liters of a 19 Play-Doh beer? What is that? In the 80s, right?
Four.
At least 1080,
no,
or above. Yeah, totally.
I could give it a go. We should. Can we broadcast me doing it? Can we come set up in your place and?
Sure, why not?
You'll be the mop up boy.
Yeah,
we'll be mopping him up. Is
yeah,
what it is.
Either me or Dr. Scott, one of us could do it.
Let's go there Thursday.
Thursday it is.
And then the other bottling we do is I did a Millennium beer that I put in these little champagne splits with corks and stuff.
What style is that?
Heavy Bock.
Ooh,
you know, I tried to model it after Sammy Claus.
Okay.
It's like 13%. I aged it in some bourbon barrels that I got from a friend of mine in Alameda.
How old was it aged?
It was aged in the bourbon barrels only about 5 weeks.
Okay.
Just, you don't want to, I don't like leaving beer in wood for too long. Just enough to get the flavor out of it.
Right on.
Would you say that's your favorite style? Is like heavy beers?
No. Actually, my favorite styles are, I like them nice and light. I like session beers.
You know,
I like bitters. I like IPAs.
Yeah. Okay, so just let me clarify for the chat room because they're asking again. So you don't distribute at all, just maybe a brew pub.
Yeah, just
here.
A couple of pubs. You know, we distribute to Barclays in Oakland and then Jupiter, which is another pub that Triple Rock owns.
Okay.
Oh, really?
Let me. I have some beer related questions and I have some biz related questions. Mm-hmm. What do you want to start with, Christian?
Whatever.
Okay. How about this? And you didn't start up Triple Rock.
No.
Would you be able to answer maybe some startup questions though? Anyway.
Throw them at me. Sure.
Okay, well, someone wants to know kind of how would you size an initial startup microbrewery? You know, how many barrels and how often do you need to brew to make money? How do you estimate that before you start?
Wow. I think it depends on your demographic.
Yeah.
You know, where you're going to be opening. I think it's about location.
Okay.
You know, are you going to be close to a college or are you going to be close to, you know, train tracks where there's nothing but warehouse district around you?
Right.
You know,
did Triple Rock?
Is it going to be an area that's saturated with beer with breweries, or an area that doesn't have one?
Right.
You know, I think the average brew pub that's opening is between 10 and 14 barrels.
Okay.
You know, and as long as you can brew 2-3 times a week,
yeah.
You know, you have enough markup on the beer that you're going to make your money back.
Right. Well, that's actually a good equation.
Because it's pretty cheap to make the beer.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
Although it's not necessarily cheap to rent a building and run the restaurant.
Exactly. Yeah. It's the operating cost that you got to pay for.
Are you brewing on the same system that Triple opened with?
Yes.
So they started with that many barrels and
they started with a brewery, but they've added fermenters.
Okay.
You know, since they've opened.
Gotcha. Now, if you're out of state and you know, not from here, Berkeley is one of the sort of social college towns in the Bay Area. So to open up a brew house there, they definitely had access, and especially in 1986 when there probably weren't, there might have been one other
one.
Third
to open in the state.
Okay. Oh, really? In the whole state? Mm-hmm. Is that right? Okay. Mm-hmm. So, you know, kind of the perfect timing, perfect place with the college town right there. Yeah. How far away from campus are you guys?
Two blocks.
Oh, is that right? Yeah. Okay. So there, that's definitely a location and timing success story, as well as people just wanting to go get the product also.
Plus, they have a huge billboard right off the freeway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was wondering. That is the same thing. I've seen that then. Okay.
That's actually that's our warehouse. I store all my dry grain there.
Okay, because that's not two blocks from campus, but I've seen that. Mm-hmm. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, off great of Highway 24.
Okay, gotcha. Well, that definitely helps too.
Competing with Budweiser.
Where were my other business questions?
Somewhere over there next to your mixer.
I just get all crazy here. Can you sell outrageous beer in Berkeley?
Sure.
Yeah?
Yeah.
These kids are buying it up?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
They like the strong stuff. I mean, you know, they're young. They're in college.
Right.
You know, they like the small. They like the strong stuff. They, you know, we kind of call a lot of the strong beer on tap the cheap date.
Nice.
There's other euphemisms.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
What's the worst experience you've had in Triple Rock?
We had a fight there about a month and a half ago. Guy took a swing at our manager.
Really?
Yeah.
Shit.
What'd your manager do?
A drunk asshole. Well, we just threw him out.
I meant, what'd he do to get punched?
He was trying to 86 the guy because he was being a drunk asshole and just going off on the bartender.
It almost always gets ugly from there. Once you have to tell somebody you're not going to serve them anymore,
right,
you pretty much are prepared for an ugly evening.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's never any fun.
But other than that, I don't know. People vomit all the time.
Yeah, that's true.
That's about it.
This is a question I'm not sure I understand because maybe I don't. Is there a brewery called Big Time?
Yes, it's in Seattle.
Okay, so what they want to know, what's the relationship between Triple Rock and Big Time?
It's one of the same owners. See, Triple Rock is owned by these two brothers, John and Reed Martin. And Reed Martin is one of the owners of Big Time up in Seattle. And he modeled it almost exactly like Triple Rock. It's the same kind of wood on the walls, the same brewerania or beer finalia, whatever you want to call it, on the walls.
Okay.
And, you know, big beers. And, you know, they don't really distribute too much out up there as well.
Okay.
But, yeah, it's, you know, and it's the pub by the college, you know. And then John owns Jupiter and a place on campus called Bear's Lair.
Okay, I know the place there, too.
Off of Shattuck there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow. A lot of beer.
Yeah. They used to own the Jupiter in Walnut Creek, too.
And
that didn't last too long.
Closed real quick.
Yeah.
Tough location.
That didn't last long, like 6 months, I think.
Yeah. Walnut Creations, which is a town that's right near the studio here, and where I actually work now, are somewhat, at least consider themselves an upscale community, and are interested in trying varied things and so-called upscale things, but don't leave much room for experimentation, which kind of would have been the Jupiter thing. Jupiter is the kind of place with an ambiance that fits the upscale hang, but their beers were probably a little bold for the Walnut Creek crowd. Whereas you have other breweries opened in Walnut Creek, such as Pyramid, who definitely serves a much, while they have some, I'm not going to say extreme beers, they got some pretty hoppy beers and things like that. Mostly the palate is very mild for them. Yeah. So that kind of serves the Walnut Creek crowd, which is something. Now, when Christian was mentioning you want to, you know, figure out who your demographic is in opening the ale house, this is the kind of stuff you have to think about. Vinny was in here a couple weeks ago talking about how when you're brewing in a state other than, you know, being in Northern California, when you're out in Montana or Minnesota and you want to do a craft brewery, you pretty much have to brew an introductory beer for those guys who are coming from Budweiser and Coors Light and all the rest. You can't just throw them into a Pliny the Elder or even a Pyramid IPA, something that's more mild. You can't do that. You have to have a transitional beer that kind of lets them know it's okay to try a craft brew and then move them from there. And it's just kind of common sense, right? When all of us, when we had our first beer, it wasn't the best thing we ever tasted, and it was most likely a lighter beer, and your palate has to adjust with that, and it's the same with food and wine and however you want to do it. So if you're opening a brewery in some of those other places, I actually kind of feel bad for you, because you're most likely a brewer who likes to try extreme things and can't do it because your demographic won't allow it.
Or the state won't let you do it either.
Because of the alcohol content. Yeah, that's absolutely right. So definitely things you want to take into consideration. And I think part of the problem with the Jupiter deal, and plus that it was a really small place, and I don't think they liked it too much in Walnut Creek.
Does Triple Rock still brew 40 beers a year consistently, or 40 different styles?
I think I kind of average that, yeah.
Wow. It's a lot.
Because, I mean, I'm also doing a lot of, like, cask-conditioned beers, which I kind of consider to be different styles.
Sure.
Because, you know, when you're doing casks, you can always do some, you know, crazy blends with it or whatever. But
And you're putting those on the hand pump?
Oh, yeah.
And what temperature are you serving your cask-conditioned beers
55
at?
55 degrees.
Nice.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very nice. All right.
But, yeah, I don't know. Maybe 40 might be a little high, but, yeah, it'd be definitely...
That's a lot. That's a lot of
between
different...
Between 30 and 40, around there.
How do you manage that on the...
We have a lot of fermenters. We have 8 fermenters, and we have 12 serving tanks.
8 fermenters.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it gives us a little, you know...
That's a lot to
room
do.
Room to play around.
But you're still... How many times a week are you starting a batch, then?
We're brewing at least 3 times a week.
You are? Okay. Gotcha.
That's a lot of beers to do, and to do them right, too.
Yeah. And to juggle them around. Yeah. Well, the trick is juggling them around.
Yeah.
Right, you know. And are you doing that, you know, is it the same each year, the way you're juggling them around? Are you doing it seasonally like
it's
that?
It's getting more every year now. Okay. We're getting busier.
Gotcha.
So
okay. People want to know, one of the questions I got, which is a pre-question, sort of about food and all these different beers that you brew. Well, the first question you may have answered, what comes first, the beer or the food?
Triple Rock, the beer.
The beer.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And then if you change your food menu for the season, do you do the same with the beer?
I do seasonals. I have flagships that I keep on year-round.
Okay.
But I definitely like to make seasonals. I mean, we just ran through summer when I had a Pilsner on the whole time, and then I've got an Oktoberfest coming out next month.
Okay.
And then, you know, yeah, I like to do a different seasonal every month.
And do they adjust the menu, or does the menu stay the same?
The menu pretty much stays the same.
It's the same. Okay. Mm-hmm. How about more on the cooking level? So, Wayne, one of our longtime listeners, wants to know. He says he's been cooking in upscale cafes for years and has come across quite a number of ingredients that might be interesting in beers. In particular, he's wondering if you have ever tried brewing with such grains as quinoa, triticale, spelt, or other unusual ingredients. Do you want to read those in case I said them wrong?
Spelt sounds like a hop, like S-P-A-L-T.
S-P-E-L-T,
Spelt,
yeah.
I don't know that one.
What about triticale?
I haven't heard any of those. I mean, we have a bakery that's next door to us, and they've taken grain from us to make pizza dough out of.
Oh, is that right?
You know.
Okay.
They sometimes use our beer yeast to rise stuff, but
all right.
That's about it.
Do you guys have a house-based malt that you're using in a ton of your beers?
Yes.
What do you
use? We use Crisp Turo.
Crisp Turo, okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
It's a good English pale malt.
English, yes.
Yeah,
Matt uses that too. From Firestone.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. I got some more food questions here too. How do you pair your food or any other craft beer to food? What would a novice look for? And this is interesting to me too, is how, you know, I like to cook new dishes. I'm not a chef by any means. I'm learning as I go. But I do like to know what a good pairing is, and so where do you start? How do you know what to do to figure that out?
I think acids, you know, really bitter or acidic beers go with, you know, acidic food.
Right.
You know?
Okay.
Beer and cheese is really good.
Yeah.
But not heavy beer. Nothing like, you know, I wouldn't pair like a stout with like a nice light cheese or something.
Okay. All right.
You know, stout would, you know, stout with beef or something.
Stout's great with
stout
burgers.
Stout with meat, you know.
Yeah.
Pale with a fish.
And, okay. You ever had beer with chocolate?
Yes. Now, the stouts go good with chocolate, or barley wines go very good with chocolate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's good pairing right there. Are there any styles that stick out that work best with a particular type of food? Like you just, like stout and beef, you said. Mm-hmm. Anything else that sticks out with one particular type of food?
I think IPAs and cheese are wonderful.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Really?
Okay. Mm-hmm. What about fish? Are you much of a fish chef? You ever paired anything that way?
Pilsner and fish.
Pils, you know, and
like fish and chips and Pilsner is really good.
Something light. Yeah, okay.
Something light.
Okay. Do you, as the head brewer, have any influence on the menu depending on specialties that you serve?
Not very much.
No. Okay. And how about this then? This is a good question. In your opinion, does your experience as a chef help you to brew better beer?
Yes, it does. Because I like to taste the raw products and the raw ingredients before I start playing with them.
Okay.
I also have a baking background too, so I'm
okay.
I think that helps in my brewing because I'm good right. with the.
What do you think that does for your brewing? Tasting the raw ingredients.
I like to taste what the grain tastes like, you know, or raw before it's fermented. Just, you know, it's just fun that way.
Can you taste your raw ingredients later with
yes,
the beer?
Yes.
Okay.
I can.
Mm-hmm.
One of your beers you guys have is a Stonehenge Stout.
Yes.
And you serve it on nitro.
Occasionally, yeah.
Oh, not always.
Not always.
Okay. Well, this person said that they noticed that you put it on nitro.
Mm-hmm.
They want to know if you force carbonate with nitro.
Yes.
You do?
Yes.
Okay. And why do you put it on nitro? And then,
it
I guess, why don't
it out.
You?
It's a nice, it gives it that nice little cascading effect
right.
in the glass. But it also, it smooths the beer. It makes it less harsh or bitey on the palate.
Right.
You know.
So what
it
about
brings,
when
it
you don't
the
do
brings the flavor
it?
Out flavor out a little bit more.
Just being lazy, aren't you?
Actually, I prefer it with regular carbonation.
Oh, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm a nitro guy. I don't know. In almost any, I've said this before. I just can never remember who did it. It was either Hop Yard or Hop Town. I'm pretty sure it was Hop Town.
Mm-hmm.
Did a double IPA
very
that they
good.
Put on nitrous.
Nitro. Awesome.
Oh. Awesome nitrous on nitro.
Whoa.
Yeah, that was even better. That's why I liked it so much. You know, on nitrogen, that was, yeah. You know what
that's
I'm talking about?
DUIPA.
Okay, that
nitro.
Is what it is.
Yeah.
DUIPA.
Very good.
Good very beer good. On nitro. Aaron, you had it too?
Yeah.
That's good stuff.
I have a theory about nitrogen beers, and I'd like to ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel that the beer has to be built around the flavor that the nitrogen will give, that smooth kind of thing? In other words, do you think any beer can be put on nitrogen
yes.
and have it taste the same?
Yes. And to me, the nitrogen thing is just an aesthetic thing. To me, the nitrogenating beers is pretty much just giving this new beer society out here in the United States an understanding of what cask conditioned beers were really like.
Hmm.
You know, it's what nitrogen beers are what cask conditioned beers should be like.
Okay.
You know, naturally carbonated, pulled through the hand pump. That's the same thing.
Gotcha.
You know, it's just a different gas. But it's the same mouthfeel. It's the same aroma. You know, it's served a little bit warmer.
Yeah.
You know, that's why Guinness is so famous.
Yeah.
You know, it's...
That's right.
Think about having a Guinness on a hand pump, you know, or
yeah.
as a cask conditioned beer.
I don't even
and
like
then put it
in
and then
bottle.
Put it next to it on the nitro.
Totally.
Yeah.
I've never thought of it that way. That's a good
yeah.
point.
Yeah,
that's a very good point.
I've got, you know, they started doing the bottles Guinness with the widget inside.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the same. I don't like that even. The can is okay. The can is a lot better, but they'll do the bottle, and to me, it's just like taking it off a CO2 tap
yeah.
out of the bottle. It's just, you're right. It is why they're famous. They would not be where they are, I think,
mm-hmm.
if they didn't do it like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, someone wanted to know if you do cask condition your ale, so you
yes.
do try to do that. How can homebrewers try to do that?
Do cask condition beers?
Yeah.
That's I think homebrewers that always do cask condition beers whenever you bottle condition or whenever
you're
you
saying that's the
condition
same.
in your corny, it's the same thing.
As a cask.
You're doing a secondary fermentation and trapping that fermentation to carbonate the beer. It's the same thing.
Okay. So it doesn't have to be a wooden cask to
no.
be a cask conditioned beer.
No.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
What about nitrogen versus CO2?
I personally like the CO2 better.
Okay.
You know. I just think the nitrogen is, I mean, it's nice, it gives it a good look, it'll bring out the aroma, but it'll also do, the cask conditioned beers will do the same thing.
Do you think nitrogen serves beer better warmer?
Well, I guess, yeah, I suppose. The thing is with nitrogen, the way it works is that it's lighter. So
okay.
that's why it's coming out of solution so easy.
Right.
You know, that's why you get that nice, thick shaving cream head on it. And CO2, it's... you know, the colder the beer is, the less head you can have, you know, you're going to get, because cold will trap the CO2 in solution a little easier.
Right.
So when you, as your beer warms up, like it's like this,
right,
it's starting to come out a little bit better.
Escape. Okay.
So
where do you come up with the names for all your brews?
A lot of them were passed down, and then just drunken nights.
The best kind. You know. How about this? How do you maintain consistency with your brews? And I actually, before I ask that, would ask, are your brews consistent from year to year?
Yeah, yeah? I'd say so. We try to brew the same batch every time, but there's always, because we're small and we don't have a lab and, mm-hmm. you know, we don't have computers, you know, pushing our beer or turning on valves or anything like that. We yeah. have to do everything by hand. So you're always going to have little nuances from batch to batch.
Right.
You know, which I think is very acceptable in a brew pub environment.
Okay.
You know, I like to hear customers tell me, oh, you know, this is a great batch of IPA. It's, you know, I can taste a little bit more of the malt this time as opposed to it being such a, like a grassy bitter, or maybe the next batch they'll go, oh wow, the aroma in this is just unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
more of a vintage mm-hmm. than the same beer right. all the time. Okay. And so how are you guys maintaining at least some sort of consistency?
Oh, we don't change our brewing regime or our cleaning regime. We don't change we mash for an hour, we boil for 90 minutes, you know. We always use the same grain, the same amount of grain, same amount of hops.
Okay.
You know, we might adjust, you know, for bittering, you know, when it's a new batch of hops coming in, you know, something might be a little stronger in alphas, we'll adjust the recipe for that, but.
Right.
Other than that, it's, you know, just try to keep it the same as we can, you know, on keep it the same on paper and
yeah.
and go you know, brew that way.
Okay. Do you have to compromise between what you want to brew and what the public wants you to brew?
Yes, sometimes I do. I have to I want to brew a Hefeweizen. I think I can make a pretty good Hefeweizen.
Okay.
And people want it, but they'll have one and then they'll move on to something else, and then yeah. this beer will just sit in our tank for, you know, 4 or 5 weeks.
Gotcha.
And I'd rather turn something over.
Okay.
So.
So my question that stems from that then is it hard to be a brewer now that you have to balance that business side, I need to sell beer,
mm-hmm.
and your creative side, I want to brew beer?
Yeah,
do
now
you,
it is.
Do you fight
Before,
yourself about that?
Yeah, or? Now I do, yeah. Before, okay. when I was starting, and I first got, and I got the job as like the head brewer, it was like, oh great, now I got free reign, I can do whatever the
right,
hell I want.
Right.
And then I was starting to notice there were some beers that were, you know, they're good. They're good in their own right, but they're just sitting around.
Yeah.
Now I want to brew beer to turn it over.
Right.
But I love the beer that I make.
Right.
You know, I think I've refined them all enough that I'm happy with every one that I'm making.
Yeah. I think that's an important thing for home brewers in general, whether they think about it, and I know a lot of them do think about it in the mm-hmm. sense when they say, I don't want to professionally brew
mm-hmm.
because I want to brew exactly what I mm-hmm. want. And I think other ones that know they love brewing enough that that's all they want to do,
mm-hmm.
there is the compromise there. Mm-hmm. You also have to brew what you can sell,
mm-hmm.
because if you can't sell it, then you're still just a home brewer. You
right.
just brew a lot of it. Mm-hmm. You know, like mm-hmm. no one buys it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a tough compromise to make, but I think the reward is doing what you do, which
mm-hmm.
is you brew for a living,
mm-hmm.
and
I do make my own beers all the time. You know, seasonals. I love making seasonal beers.
Do you do half batches or something when you
yes.
do that?
Yes, when I make like the big beers, like the Imperial Stouts or barley wine,
yeah,
I'll do
yeah.
3.5 barrel batches of
okay.
it.
Oh, okay, so even less than mm-hmm. you do. Quite okay.
Do you find it hard to replicate a recipe, even though you have the same ingredients year to year?
No, not really.
I think as a home brewer, it's hard to do. Just because you're fighting environment, you're fighting
right.
temperature,
mm-hmm.
But you have all that control.
Well, that's the thing is, as long as all my stuff is working correctly,
right.
then it's going to be cool.
What is this beer I'm drinking here?
You're drinking Red Rock Ale.
This is a good one. This isn't menstruation red. It's totally different.
Yeah.
It's a lot better.
You know what? It's kind of funny you bring that up. There is a beer that is made by Jupiter.
Yeah.
And, I probably shouldn't say this, because now when I say it, all these people are going to go, oh, God.
Oh, you can say it. It's
they make a beer. It's called Red Spot Ale.
Uh-huh.
Red Spot Ale.
I love that. That's awesome.
I mean, named after, you know, the little red
yeah.
spot on the planet Jupiter, right?
Right.
But then, you know,
right. But everyone knows
what Red Spot is.
That's funny.
Man, I wish I had thought of that today instead of mine. Mine was so, like, obvious. That one's nicer. That one's much more clever.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Now I've got all these names running through my head that I'm holding back from saying now that you
Shame
said that. This is a good red ale.
Yeah, it's got like a coffee.
It's
toffee kind of aftertaste.
It's Crystal 77 pale malt, and then just a little bit of chocolate for the color.
Okay.
And then it's Galena's again in the bittering, and then Cascades in the finish.
All right. You just do the twice then?
With some Chinooks in the middle.
Okay.
Yeah, kind of round it. I like doing Chinooks in the characters.
We like it when they give away everything.
Yeah, sure.
It's a lot better. What do you think would be better for a home brewer to age in a wooden cask? IPA or barley wine?
Barley wine.
Yeah?
Yeah. Because you want to focus on the hops in the IPA. Why do you want to bring out wood flavors?
Okay. Unless you're somebody like Bridgeport, they're getting a lot of not Bridgeport. I meant McTarnahan's. They do that nice oak age IPA. Mm-hmm. That's good. But yeah, I would agree with you on the barley wine, especially because it's going to sit longer too.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like the wood.
Can
barrel
age
for that.
A little easier in an oak barrel.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm going to brew a barley wine and just age it with oak cubes for like 6 months. Just let it sit on it.
Mm-hmm.
How about your regimen for cleaning and sanitizing your brewery? Mm-hmm. And could you possibly translate that into suggestions for homebrewers?
Well, I use industrial caustics.
You do?
Caustic cleaners for all my stainless.
Okay.
And then got to give it a full rinse of just cold water. And then
you don't use hot water?
Not on my rinse, no.
Okay.
I use cold water on the rinse.
Okay.
And then if I'm doing, and then I got this, good low foaming acid cleaners that I'll use, if I got scale buildup or something. And then my sanitizer, I use this, it's a 5% paracetic acid solution.
Okay.
And then just, the rest of it, 95% inert. But it's nice is it's 1 ounce of this stuff for 3 gallons of water.
Okay.
And it's a 1 to 5 minute contact time and it's no rinse.
That's quick.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So it's fairly easy for your cleaning process because of that stuff. Mm-hmm. And you don't worry about any of those chemicals lingering around or anything?
No, I turn them over pretty quick. I don't let them denature. And I'll take, readings on them, pH readings on them to see how they're coming along. But yeah. I haven't had a problem with those yet, thank God.
Knock on wood, absolutely. Yeah. Now, what about your water? Are you concerned with your water chemistry? Do you take
I get a water report every year from East Bay Mud just to see where my pH is at, but East Bay Mud water coming from the Sierras is just awesome.
Nice water. Yeah. So you are just using our municipal water.
Yep.
Are you filtering it at all?
I'm filtering my beer, but I'm not filtering the water.
Oh, you don't? So you don't run it through a carbon filter or anything? You just go straight in?
Straight in.
Is that right? Mm-hmm. Do you find that it changes? Are you ever finding more chlorine smell?
I find in the springtime when we get some winter runoff, the water might be a little harder, but
okay,
that's about it.
Interesting. I think you're probably the first person we've had in here that says he just takes the water, just use it, and not even filter it a little bit.
Okay. Water's great.
Yeah, very nice. Let's see.
And a lot of that stuff that's in the water boils off anyway.
Yeah. Okay. Well, what's the best clarifier that could be added to a secondary? Do you have an opinion about that? Being that you filter, you don't really clarify.
I think using the Irish moss in the boil, at the end of the boil is the only thing I can think of to clarify it.
What about
later
you,
on? I mean, later on, maybe, I don't know, if you have access to isinglass, I guess it'll work.
What's that?
That's that tropical fish bladder.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Colin,
it's like a gelatin.
Downtown Josie's is that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What about you, John? Do you ever clarify in a secondary?
No.
You don't?
Cold storage, lager almost.
Yeah, you can. You
cold
know,
storage.
The other thing, too, the other way to do, I guess, clarifying is time, age, and surface area.
Do that rest. Explain how you do the rest, because, John, you get some pretty clears just by doing a rest on it, right? Which is cooling it down and getting the yeast to drop out, right?
Yeah, well, if like an ale, I'll do an ale like 2 weeks, and then I'll lager for a week or two, depending on the style. And I think you get a lot of the yeast drop out, a lot of proteins drop out, hops drop out.
Yeah.
And then they just settle out. And they're clear and transferred to the keg. Then there's more yeast drop out. It's like a bright tank.
Right.
And it's just a clearer beer overall.
Yeah.
I think if you have good mash control, consistent temperature control, if you do those two things, you're going to have clear beer at the end.
Anyway.
If you can just lager your beer afterwards.
Right. Do the bright tank.
That's all I do.
Yeah. I think that I would agree that's probably the best. Petros, anything to add to that? Are you the same way?
I use Whirlflock in the boil.
In the boil, yeah.
And then I just let it hang out.
Yeah.
And it's yeah, it drops out. Let gravity do the work. Let the temperature do the work.
Right.
You don't want to be putting tropical fish bladders and eyeballs and whatnot in here, you know? That's kind of weird.
Mm-hmm. I do, just because it is weird.
Yeah. Well, weird. Well, there you go. But yeah, I agreed 100% for the first time in about 5 years with Jonathan Plisset that just let it go.
Okay. And then finally, and I would imagine this answer varies, but I could be wrong. What temperature do you mash?
I like to hit 150.
You do mash. Mm-hmm. So you're low. See, and you were calling me an idiot for 150.
What are you talking about? Why are you bringing back the past, man? We're brothers. Why you got to make it personal, huh?
I thought we were brothers. I'm confused.
We're all brothers.
You know, there are a couple of styles of beer where I like to hit a high mash temperature. Like if I make a nice light beer, but I want with a nice fat flavor to it, I'll hit a high mash temperature just to get that bigger extract, lower fermentability out of it.
Right.
Or, you know, if I like that monkey head beer I was talking about, I like to dry that out, so I'll do a lower mash temperature on it.
Okay.
Yeah. You know.
See?
That's what I was talking about. Why don't you get a book?
I can't read.
Oh, but yeah. I like to hit 150.
It's, I do his radio.
It's the optimum.
That's your staple.
Yeah.
150. What do you do with your... What are you laughing at? Are they making fun of me in the chat room already? All right. Daniela's over there giggling. What do you do with your spent grains? The answer to this question is important to me, Christian, and it's important to the citizens of Berkeley.
Yeah.
What do you do with your spent grains?
We get a farmer from Martinez to come out and pick it up once.
Do you really?
Mm-hmm.
What's his name? Yeah. No, seriously.
It's the Chapman Farms. Okay. They have a bunch of livestock that they keep on Tosco property.
Okay. Because I think Farmer Bob, who comes and pick up JJ's grains, is that him? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's him, Farmer Bob?
Farmer Bob.
Chapman, Bob Chapman.
Yep.
Yeah.
How doing? Hey, how's it going, Bob?
How do?
Hey, I got a story about that guy.
Go for it.
I had a pallet of British Merris Otter break on me as I was helping him load his grains. Mm-hmm. He saw it break, and he's like, you know, I could help this forklift off and, like, help you out, and he drove away. He made me clean up the whole fucking pallet. Nice.
Thanks for the free grains. Pallet. I'm out of here.
Yeah, free grains, and he drives off.
All right.
Is it? I don't even work for him, you know. It's just like, later. Yeah. Gotta go, yeah. Gotta feed the pigs.
Wow.
I love Bob. He's a good guy.
Now, how often is he coming to pick that stuff up?
About once a week.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Wow. See, that's a good gig for farmers, going to the local breweries. Mm-hmm. It's definitely something they got going for them here. Mm-hmm. You know, while they might have a lack of land to farm on, they have a bounty of free food.
Still waiting for that guy to get me a prime rib, though.
Yeah. I know. What's up with that?
Is that what he says to all you guys when he comes by for the grain? You know? He's like, oh, I'll get you some good meat.
Yeah.
All right.
What about the pizza crust?
Let us know.
How does that work?
Now, they don't get your spent grains for the pizza crust.
No.
They buy some of your fresh stuff.
Yeah. Okay.
Do you single infusion mash or step or decoction mash?
It is a single step infusion mash.
Okay.
Pretty much all in one.
The majority of breweries do that just to save time, right?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. And I don't use under-modified malt, so I'm not putting anything in a cereal cooker and do any decoction or anything like that. And I don't have any sort of burners underneath my mash to do any step mashing. So.
Okay. The Brew Kids want some more elaboration on your mash temp. Why only the 150? You know, I know you were talking about getting a lighter body, but
it's the optimum for fermentability, and it's the optimum for extract.
Okay,
you know, higher fermentation temperatures, you're going to get a higher amount of extract, but lower fermentability.
Okay,
you're going to pull a lot of dextrins.
As opposed to just pulling fermentables,
right?
In my experience,
I've noticed that on really high mash temperatures, I'll get more stringency in my beers.
Okay,
so lower mash temperatures are great, but your extracts are going to be a little bit lower, but it's going to be more fermentable. It'll be drier.
Okay,
you won't get that nice mouthfeel.
Okay. Yeah. If you were going for a bigger beer, you know, a higher gravity, you would still keep it low then, or you would go a little higher?
You can go a little higher. I mean, 150 to 154 is not going to
make a difference.
It's not going to throw it off that much.
Okay.
But I just like to hit everything in 150. That's the consistency factor for me.
What's your strike water at?
170.
Really? Mm-hmm. So you have a 20-degree drop. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's a lot. Mm-hmm. Of course,
But then I also play with that because sometimes the grain will be cold, so I'll have to adjust the temperature, adjust my strike water for that.
Mm-hmm. Does your ambient temperature and wherever you brew affect it at all?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We get a lot of questions in here from homebrewers about recipe formulation, mm-hmm. because as a home brewer, sometimes it's just interesting to know where do you begin, where to start.
I mean, obviously, designing great beers.
There you go.
That's your guy right there.
That is the Bible man right there. That's okay. A great book.
And Petros, you're
and
doing
then
the same?
And yeah. then the style books. Those classic style books are great.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Ray Daniels.
Yes.
Yeah. Ray Daniels is the king.
Yes. So yeah, Ray Daniels is a really, really good guy. He helps me out with my festival every year.
So when you're designing a beer, are you going to the style guidelines and the book and starting
from
there?
If I'm formulating something, I'll definitely research it out.
Okay. All right. That's a good answer. Yeah, that was definitely, it's a question that we got this week and we've definitely had it before. Mm-hmm. What's the book called again?
Designing Great Beers.
Designing Great Beers.
By Ray Daniels.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Second edition out now.
Yeah.
Is that right? I have to get that.
Cool
myself.
Guy.
I don't really design beers yet, but I guess if I'm going to start, I got to buy Designing Great Beers.
Well, you know those kids from those brew companies, man. They don't.
Yeah.
You need help with designing your beers.
Hey, I had two really good ones.
Yeah, that's true.
Three really bad ones, but I had two really good ones that I designed. So, all right. How about this? We're going to take a quick break. Wrap it up when we come back. I think I just got a couple quick food questions for you. See if we get anything else coming in from the chat room. If you want to talk, you can call 888-401-BEER. We're here with Christian Kazikoff from Triple Rock Brewery in Berkeley, California. We're just finishing up his red, so why don't we open up the third beer, too, at the break and taste that for the folks at home.
What beer is that, Christian?
It's called Dragon's Milk.
That was Dragon's Milk.
Yeah. Okay. So let's do that when we come back, and we'll wrap it up.
Awesome.
All right, it's the Brewing Network. We'll be right back.
Johnny P.
And Justin.
And we're the Brewcasters.
On the Brewing Network.
All right, we're back. We're going to wrap things up here. What we're working on now is Christian, as you guys always like to have done, has been nice enough to, I think, convert one of his recipes to an... Did you do it to extract?
No.
You did it to all grain?
Yes.
So we'll give it to you in all grain. You're going to have to do your own extract conversion.
You're going to have to figure the math out on this.
But you could do that. You could punch in an all grain batch into any. There's a website called beertools.com. Mm-hmm. I like that site. And they've got a recipe calculator. You could probably punch some all grain stuff into their thing. Mm-hmm. Or you could also do it to ProMash, right? Mm-hmm. You did a ProMash, they'll convert it to extract for you. I don't know the program. I'm guessing.
We could do it right now over the air, too.
You think you can do it?
Sure.
Look at John. Look at John just stepping up over there. John. All right, so why don't you go? We got to call. Do I got to call her first?
I'm game.
Yeah, it's Stump the Brewer.
Oh, Stump the Brewer. All right, just tell him to hang on a second. Okay. Go ahead. Give us. Now, this is all grain for what?
This is an IPA.
Okay.
And it's 84% two-row pale malt. It's 10% Crystal Pils, which is made by Durst. It's a very good malt. It's a dextrin malt.
Okay.
Then it's 4% C15 or Crystal 15, 2% wheat malt. And then 0.05% chocolate malt.
Okay.
And you want to mash at 150 degrees for about an hour. Then you want to boil for 90 minutes. And the hops, it's the bittering is Columbus hops, and it's for 70 IBUs.
Mm-hmm.
And I figured this out per barrel. It's about 5.4 ounces of Columbus per barrel.
Are you doing that for 90 or 60?
For 90 minutes. For 90. So the Columbus, I put it in at 80 minutes left in the boil.
Okay.
And then my character hops, which is Chinooks, for the one barrel batch would be about 4 ounces, and that's at 20 minutes left in the boil. And that's all the hops I put in the boil. And then I dry hop it on day 5 with Chinooks and Columbus again. And for the one barrel batch, it would be 10 ounces of Chinooks and then 1.5 ounces of Columbus.
Okay.
And yeah, dry hop it on day 5 or pretty much after primary fermentation.
And how long are you dry hopping for?
I usually dry hop my beers between day 5 and day 7.
Okay.
So the beer is still warm, you know, because I don't want to... I have a big thing about dry hopping beers while they're cold. You just don't get the aroma as you do when they're still in there. 70 degree temperature or 65 degree temperature.
Yeah.
It brings out the aroma a little bit better. So let the beer sit on the hops for a few days at that primary temperature before you rack it into your secondary and start chilling it.
Okay. All right. There you go. That's the IPA.
Your target gravity should be about 15.5 Plato.
Okay. John, you writing all that down to convert to extract or what?
Yeah, give me a few seconds.
You need the percentage. You need to figure the percentage and turn
that
in
my head. Hold on.
He's going to do it in his head. All right. We'll take the caller in the meantime and see what we got going. It's a Stump the Brewer call, huh? Okay, we'll take it. Go ahead. Hang up that phone there. All right, you're on the air. Who's calling?
This is Wichita Brewer.
Hey, Wichita.
Yeah, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. First things first, John, you let me down tonight.
Uh-oh.
In Jeopardy.
Hey, I don't mean to be a loser.
Hey, in John's defense, you're the dumbass who picked John. You've listened before, right?
Yeah, I listened. It was John's time to shine. Yeah.
Hey, I tried in the beginning, man.
I'm kind of like that too, actually, where I'm thinking, all right, today's the day to pick the losing horse, and it's going to be his night.
I'm going
to
come through, trust me.
The dark horse.
Yeah.
Hey, you're on the B3 forum, right, Wichita Brewer?
I've been there before.
Yeah.
I'm not there very often.
I recognize the name.
No, you don't. Don't steal our forum users over there.
Well, hey, it looks the same. Come on.
Now, we're going to join in this forum bandwagon where we like to keep our own users. No, we're not really. I don't care.
Justin, tell that to Gucci Pilot.
Hey, can I ask Christian to repeat the recipe, please? The chat can't write that quickly.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
All right. Hang on. Before we do Stump the Brewer, hang in there, Wichita. I'm going to repeat this recipe real quick.
84% two-row pale, 10% crystal pills, 4% C15, 2% wheat, and 0.5% chocolate.
Okay. You got that? All right. If you need the hop bill, John's got it in front of him, we can repeat it later. You know what we could do? You should write it out for Daniela and have her just type it in the form or something like that. How about that? Yeah, now you got to work, Daniela. How do you like that?
Free of charge, too.
It's all written out right there. All right, Wichita, what do you got for Stump the Brewer?
All right. I don't have too tough a one, but here it is. What brewer founded the first private college for women in the U.S.?
Ooh. Nice question. It's
for
tough,
women?
But I do like the
my
question.
Hero. I think
obviously he was up to something. I don't know. Sam Adams?
What's the answer, Wichita?
The answer is Matthew Vassar.
Wow.
I actually read
Vassar.
That in an old brewing book that I've been reading the history of brewing in America.
And what college did he found for that?
Vassar College.
Vassar College. How about that?
What do you know?
Someone didn't go there.
That's a good question.
The only women's college I know is Mills, which is right there in Berkeley, too. That's what I was thinking, but that's not that old.
No.
That's one of the modern women schools.
Where they can vote.
Which is code
drive
for lesbian, but that's okay, too.
Wow. That's
all right.
Great.
So, Brewer stumped. How about that?
All right.
That was quick.
Triple Rock shirt. Can we do that, Christian?
Sure.
All right. Wichita, you're going to win a Triple Rock shirt.
Sweet.
You need to send me an email with your information.
Will do.
Name the show. Do all that stuff because we've had
and
trouble losing everything. Give me your size, name the show that you won, and all that stuff, right?
All right.
Will that work? What are you drinking?
I'm drinking one of my Dunkelweizen.
Little Dunkelweizen.
Brewed a while back.
It's good, huh?
It's the leftover from our brew club meeting, so it's kind of flat, but it's still drinkable.
You brew extract or all grain?
All grain.
Nice.
I brewed extract for a long time, but converted over the dark side about a year ago.
10 years ago, is that what you said?
No, a year ago.
Oh, a year ago. I'm going to say, what are we talking about here? A year, okay. And are you having a lot more fun with the all grain or what?
Oh, hell yeah.
Okay. Get a little more control?
Yeah.
Where do you get your brew supplies from out there?
I get some from B3. Well, actually, a lot from B3.
Okay.
Support our local supply store here in town.
You can name them. Go ahead.
Just What's Brewing.
Oh, okay.
Here in Wichita, Kansas.
What's Brewing in Wichita, Kansas. All right,
yeah.
Cool. All right. Hey, thanks for the call. Just make sure you send me that email. We'll get you a shirt.
All right. Great show, guys.
Thanks, buddy. We'll see you at Wichita.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
All right. There you go. Stumped the Brewer. They're good at that. You know, What is the first year that Thomas Jefferson ever drank a beer? And the problem is that you can find that information somewhere, so it's a valid question.
All right, so here's the deal now. Everybody is so excited about Stump the Brewer,
yeah.
And just, you know, Richard just called in and got lucky that we put him on the air and let him play, but okay. I already promised the chat room that they would be able to play too, so the first one to Stump the Brewer question, put the Stump the Brewer question in the chat room now, is going to get served.
Is gonna what?
Get served by me, and I'm gonna ask you the question.
Okay. In other words, you mean you're letting them play?
Yes.
Okay. I just didn't understand the. I was like, you got served. That was a real bad movie. That's all I know.
Oh. Yeah, you know what I mean. Because we have to play it twice then. I'm sorry, Chris.
No, that's totally.
That's all right.
Can you give away another shirt?
I can give away another shirt.
Okay, oh, so it'll
that's
be
awesome.
Two shirts.
Thank you so much.
What's the question? Did you give it to me, or?
No,
just
I will give it to
then.
You in a second.
Okay.
How's the ego going to be, though, Christian?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm putting out two questions.
I want to get at least one.
There you go.
I have a question that was actually passed to me for Stump the Brewer that I didn't read. I just read it now.
Yeah.
It's what's the average wing velocity of a sparrow?
Oh my God!
I love it. When
are you talking South African sparrows?
Like, isn't that, exactly. I was just saying.
It's swallow.
Like, isn't
that
like a Holy Grail question?
Yeah. It was a swallow.
That was a real question, yeah. They don't get to play.
Yeah.
It's got to be beer-related. All right, so while you're sorting that out, do you got any really good beer recipes? Because I've been, pretty much everything I cook is with beer. It doesn't have to be a complicated recipe. For example, I think last week or the week before, I gave a great Guinness hamburger recipe, mm-hmm. where instead of using barbecue sauce, when you make your patties, you put a pint of Guinness in there, and you don't put it on the burgers grilling or anything. You actually make them, and you do it that way. I do a couple of other things. Daniela makes an awesome bratwurst, which is basically like a roasted pork, and that's all with like a Doppelbock type of beer, good stuff in there. You got anything that sticks out in your mind?
Well, what I did today, before I came here, I had to barbecue some ribs for this neighbor that was having a block party down the street from my house. And I always use beer when I use my smoker.
Okay.
So the recipe, I guess, is to use instead of using like apple cider vinegar in your basting spray for when you smoke pork ribs or smoke a brisket or something like that, I use stout.
Okay.
And it comes out really nice.
Nice. Mm-hmm. You ever soaked your wood chips in beer?
Yes.
You do that too?
Mm-hmm.
That's a good thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. I don't have a smoker, but I do the, put the chips on one side of the barbecue and the meat on the other.
Mm-hmm.
The
indirect cooking is the way to go.
I got that wrong, didn't I, Daniela? It's Schweinsbraten, not Bratwurst. Bratwurst is a friggin' sausage. I'm an idiot. Schweinsbraten is the roasted pork with beer in it. All right.
At least you knew. You corrected yourself.
Stump the brewcaster.
I basically cook like I brew, which is that I'm not horrible at either one, but I just can't be bothered with the details. You know what I mean? I just need to give me the gist and I'll do it for you and it'll be fine. I'm the same way no matter what it is. Cooking too. You got a Stump the Brewer then?
I got a Stump the Brewer question by Fancy Moo Pens.
That's
Mom, how's it going?
That's his chat room name?
Yeah.
That is my new favorite chat room member.
I know it was. Okay, Stump the Brewer question. In the early days, 11th to 13th century of British brewing. Okay, hang on. What was said to be the main difference between beer and ale?
Between
back
beer
in the,
and ale.
The 13th century?
Between in the early days, 11th to 13th century of British brewing.
What was the difference between beer and ale?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
They better have an answer to this themselves.
Yeah,
they do.
Let me think for a second.
Yeah. Back then, yeah,
because
they
weren't using
the
lagers,
difference.
Obviously, back then. So there was have been that. Maybe the beer were they using hops and ale they were using herbs?
No.
Okay.
But that's a nice guess. What's the answer to that?
The answer is that, hang on, it is somewhere in here. The answer is that in the early days, ale was not hopped. Hops came from Europe later.
Yeah.
so
well,
he got
that's
right.
kind of what he said, what though. He said.
Is it what he said?
It's what he said. He said that they didn't use hops; they used herbs instead. But he, you know, they didn't.
All right, next question.
Yeah. I'm going to say.
I got my one.
Wow!
I got my one.
Nice. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Oh, fancy moo-moo pants! You did not stump the brewer.
Which is too bad. I would have been happy to write that on a package.
But you made him feel good, and that's pretty much the same.
That's a good guess.
All right,
fancy moo-moo. Okay. So, I don't know. We're going to be wrapping up in the next 5 minutes. I might accept another Stump the Brewer question in that time since
I have that
Christian was willing
recipe.
To give away a shirt. Okay, do it. Give the extract recipe for the same IPA that Christian just gave away.
5 U.S. gallons. I would use 8 pounds of ultralight. Okay. Your steeping grains would be 3/4 pounds of carapils, 1/2 pound of Crystal 15, 1/4 pound of wheat, 1/4 ounce of chocolate. Fermentation would be English 002 yeast. Original specific gravity would be 1055 to 1065. Your hops would be 2 ounces of Columbus for 60 minutes, 1 ounce of Chinook the last 5 minutes. Dry hop, I would do 2 ounces of Chinook and 1/2 ounce of Columbus after a week of primary fermentation.
You need to mash the wheat.
What do you think, Christian?
That sounds great.
You just made that.
I
want to
try that.
You?
You need to John, you need to mash the wheat. So you would use 1/2 pound of wheat extract.
Yeah?
Or 1/4 pound, really.
We could. Think.
Yeah, he's right.
Yeah? Okay, so in your extract, add 1/2 pound of wheat, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just add it, yeah.
That's not steeping. That's you have to buy the extract for that.
I've steeped wheat before, but...
I'm going to ask you how you did that later on, because...
Yeah, that's pretty...
You know, I mean, you need the... I don't know.
What does he need? Go ahead.
No. Fractions are not my best, you know, subject, so I'll just defer to Jonathan.
Yeah.
Please say.
That's pretty
good. I used to do numbers for a while.
Oh, that's right.
All right, so that's the extract batch of the IPA. Are we done? Can we finish it up here? No forum questions, Daniela?
And we have forum questions.
Well, I don't have any in front of me. What do you got?
Oh, I got a phone call.
Phone call.
Man, it's like a show that they just don't want to end.
No.
You know? And it's weird because we're on schedule this week, which is odd.
Yeah.
We usually go to like 8 o'clock or so. We're on schedule and they just don't want it to, they got questions.
I don't want
they
it to
calls.
End either.
All right, you want to be on?
I don't want it to either, Chase.
I'm having fun.
This is great.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hey, Justin, it's Matt.
It's Matt.
Hey, Matt, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Hey, did you get in any fights with any forums this week?
You know, I haven't been on Beer Pals for ages.
Nobody else is fighting with you, though, huh?
Well, me and Gucci, we always go back and forth a little bit, but it's all in good fun.
Okay. Matt's funny. You can tell when he's had a few beers and he's had to post things.
Yeah, because he's angry then?
He loves, especially in the B3 form. Now, he's kind of, I think, you know, tamed. I think he has to blow into his keyboard in order for it to unlock now. But
nice.
It was good. How's it going, Matt?
What's
good,
up?
JP,
sorry, I let you down, but I apologize.
That's all right, buddy. I'm going to take you up on that beer at JJ's, though.
I didn't say that. That was John.
I'll take you, Matt. I'm a good friend.
Right, yeah, I'm a horrible bastard.
The reason I called was because just like when Christian read off his recipe, John, when you read yours, it's so fast. Can't write it down that quick. I'm just hoping you'll
be archived
so
with
I can
Matt.
Email you or something.
Yeah. Hey, Matt, one word for you, but archive. Okay.
But you know,
you're right.
Justin is so freaking slow on that. I mean, that might be 2 months from now. I want to brew it tomorrow.
Well, he does have the loose joints. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Kind of flat face. That's right.
I type it in with my third digit. That's why it takes
God
a while.
God damn it. And another thing, Justin.
Yeah.
Ooh. Matt's been liquored up, man.
Here's fancy Moo Moo Pants on the chat room calling me Beer Pal.
Yeah. I like it.
Gucci does it, too.
Matt, yeah, I only...
That's your fault.
I was going to do it. I just spared you from it. I like it. I think it's a great nickname.
Well, since we're on nicknames, you should know that fancy Moo Moo Pants is actually Oz.
Oh. Look at him trying to get prizes under a different surname.
that's
Australian
not why he did
bastard.
It. He was in response to a conversation we were having in the chat room.
Oh, okay. That's good because we'll give him to him even when he's Oz. We don't care. We give away stuff all the time. Over and over to the same
guy.
Hey,
I want to say to Christian that Triple Rock is my favorite local brew pub. No offense to anybody who may now or may have in the past worked at JJ's.
Nice.
I really love Triple Rock, Christian. You guys make some really good beer, and I'm the one who asked the question about Big Time up in Seattle, and I go up to Seattle a lot.
Cool.
And that's definitely my favorite place up there.
Right, thanks a lot.
Hey, what do you do for a living, Matt?
I do. I'm a self-employed vessel maintenance diver.
Really?
what that means to the layman is I do underwater boat bottom cleaning.
Wow.
Cleaning, gotcha.
Yeah.
I was thinking you were like some sort of technical genius guy down there.
Well,
or something.
I am that as well.
No, that's actually a pretty cool gig, I would think. Unless, of course, you're doing it here in the Martinez Bay, and then
well,
it stinks
no,
a lot.
I don't do it. I do it more in the Berkeley, Richmond, Alameda area.
Okay.
And right now, yes, it is a cool gig, but you talk to me in January, and I'll sing a different tune.
Oh, yeah. And are you by yourself when you're doing that?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
How do you get into that?
Well, I owned a sailboat, and I was paying somebody else to do it for me for a long time.
Gotcha.
And I decided this wasn't rocket science.
You're talented, beer pal.
Yeah.
I'm a multi-talented kind
See, of... See, you're one of the guys that goes into all the marinas and then offers to go under the boats and scrape all the...
That is very... That is correct.
Clean their crusty barnacles.
Yeah. Fast bottoms, right?
Yeah.
That's the name.
Fast bottom. I will clean your bottom. I do charge a lot, however.
Well, good, because I had chili this morning, so please.
Do you like, drive a van that says, I will clean your crusty barnacle bottom? Because if you don't, you should. I guarantee that'll get you more business.
That's funny.
I used to have a little pickup truck with a camper shell, and I had Fast Bottoms hole cleaning, you know, all over the side in big yellow letters.
Okay.
And I'd pull up to a stoplight, and there'd be like a carload of high school girls next to me,
yeah,
just looking over, laughing, and I'd kind of like shrink down in my seat.
Yeah.
Hide under, you know.
Yeah, that's rough.
I don't advertise on my vehicle anymore.
That's a good idea. I don't know what we'd put on ours. We pee more than we brew or something. The Brewing Network.
At least you do, at least.
That's what I would do.
Yeah.
All right, Matt, thanks for the call.
Hey,
I'm always disappointed when you don't show up in here, so I appreciate the phone
call. I'll tell
you
what, and the chat room guys are going to love this.
Yeah.
As much as I enjoy being in the studio, unless I have a job to do,
okay,
it's more fun to hang out here in the chat room, and it's sort of like watching a football game on TV.
Yeah.
You get more out of it watching it on TV than you do at the game.
Okay, cool. All right, well, that's fair enough.
But I do want to come in and take some pictures and stuff, so that's because the guys like to see it when I post the promotional things. So.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to have to come up with a job for you then in the future. Like a specific
There's a broom in here.
I got a job. I got a job for Matt.
Do you?
Yeah, it's updating the Doe's website.
Oh, that was low.
Below the belt. Keep the gloves up, buddy.
Needed. You're right. Well, we got a meeting tomorrow. My plan is to come to the meeting tomorrow, take lots of pictures, update the website right after.
Will your name tag say Beer Pal?
Fuck you.
All right, Matt, we'll catch you later.
Oh, by the way,
go ahead.
What's Matt drinking?
I just poured myself a Triple Rock IPA clone that I brewed about a month ago.
How'd you get that recipe?
A guy I know, in fact, he's a client, a boat bottom cleaning client.
That's funny.
Apparently got it from Christian, but I wasn't, the reason I'm the one who asked for the extract recipe. I don't think the guy, I was not happy with the hop additions that the guy gave me in this recipe he apparently got from Christian.
Okay.
I wasn't sure how accurate it was, so that's why I asked for another, direct from the horse's mouth.
Does this one sound different?
Well, I'd have to go back and look. Definitely the numbers he gave me for amounts were very, very low. That's why I questioned the accuracy of this guy's recipe.
Okay.
I think it's the same, it seems like the same, if memory serves, the same types, but the amounts are higher in your version than the one the guy gave me.
All right.
So, and I didn't brew what the guy gave me. I just bumped the hops up to whatever I thought was a little more accurate. So.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm drinking here is actually a lot more bitter than what you guys serve at Triple Rock. But
You're saying it's better, isn't it?
Well, I'm a hophead, but I want it to be accurate. I don't, you know. I thought you guys were going to like my double-hopped American Amber, and both you and John slammed it.
Well, we're just...
We're being honest. We're your friends.
Totally. Absolutely appreciate it.
Here's what's going to happen. You're going to come back with that beer, and it's going to be awesome. And then we're going to say, all right, good work, Beer Pal.
Yeah, no, you're right. Absolutely. But don't call me Beer Pal. God damn it.
And then Satan will snowboard
down.
Don't call
me Shirley.
Yeah.
Bring one to me at Triple Rock, and we'll do a side-by-side.
There you go.
Yeah, because I need the embarrassment. I'll do that, Christian.
You're going to get free beer out of it, man.
Ooh.
See? I'll tell you what, do it on the same day that I drink 10 liters of whatever it is I'll be drinking. Oh, to
you know what's
my
great?
Bottle.
Oh, what's great
is the Thursday thing. Yeah.
Yeah. What's great is Christian has no idea what this guy looks like.
Right. So guys in the chat room right now are going to waltz into Triple Rock.
Right. Right. Yeah. With their IPA clone. Right.
Nice. All right, Matt. Thanks for the call.
Hey, good show, guys.
See you, Matt.
Catch
all right,
you
bye-bye.
That's always good fun. All right, what do I got here? Two Stump the Brewers, Daniela?
No, one is.
Hey, that's over.
It says Stump.
You're over, John.
Overboard.
This one is the Stump the Brewer. What's this one? Just a question?
Overbearing.
Okay. Ready for the Stump the Brewer?
Sure.
You offered up the other shirt. I figured I might as well give it away.
What am I up to now? Three?
No, just two. Because okay. You won. You didn't get stumped the last one. So
right,
herbs.
So this.
Oh, but don't I get a shirt for the guy I won the?
I'm giving him
Jupiter,
a Brewing Network. I'm giving him
Jeopardy
a
one.
No, I'll give him a Brewing Network shirt.
Oh, I see.
You got stumped once,
and they have to email.
So you got to give it to them. Okay. That person that was Wichita, right? He's got to email me, and then this guy if he stumps you,
okay.
And that's it. So you're just in for two shirts.
Okay, cool.
No big deal. Okay, in what year was a national brewery first proposed by the federal government?
What year was a national brewery proposed? Yeah. Oh, my God.
I think I should be able to give him a hint. And no. The hint is that the president at the time was James Madison. He's the one who decided to appoint this.
Mm.
Wasn't he a brewer?
Because yes. I was thinking it would have been something like after Prohibition. But okay.
No, it was early on. It was when the country was being, you know, sort of felt out and settled, mm-hmm, and they had... Mm-hmm. Beer was an issue, and they decided that maybe we should have a national brewery. Although it didn't come to fruition.
All right, I'm going to go on a guess here. 1791.
Mm. 1810.
Damn.
1810. Close.
Yeah. President Madison appointed Thomas Jefferson to look into it, but then they got sidetracked by the war, which happened
that tends to
in
1812. Right?
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. Okay, then these are just regular questions. Let me get through for you real quick. Okay, this must be from Gucci, the Hop Editions one, because I skipped over one stinking question on his whole list.
Yeah.
Right? I'm right.
Darren's
right.
A pushy guy.
What about Christian, what about you using Hop Editions? They want to know sort of different sort of Hop Editions do you do, and I'm thinking dry hopping and...
Well, usually the beers that I dry hop, I don't put in any kettle hops or whirlpool hops.
Okay.
Because I'm going to get the aroma from the dry hop anyway.
Okay. Although now I'm gonna go back. This might
sense.
Just be in terms of the IPA recipe that you gave.
He just asked me in general.
Just in general, okay. Yeah.
Just hop additions.
Yeah.
I always like to put in my bittering hops at 10 minutes into a 90-minute boil.
So you always do 90-minute.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Why do you do 90-minute?
It's just the way we've always
done
it.
Add your bittering hop for 90 minutes, or do you wait 30 minutes?
We wait 10 minutes,
10
and
minutes.
Then add it.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then, yeah, character hops go in at 20 minutes left of the boil.
Well, they say you get a more noble kind of hop flavor the longer you boil.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of the
But then other stuff, the also, edges. you can pull a lot of
vegetative stuff.
Vegetatives and astringency and that you know, that acrid flavorings from it, too. You don't want to overboil them.
Okay. What are the total IBUs on that IPA that you gave us?
70 IBUs.
70. Danielle, I'm going to ask you again to write in English next time. What's that? What's that word right there? Is that crab tree?
Yes.
Okay.
Crab tree.
Describe the crab tree effect and how it affects fermentation. Oh, this must have been a stump the brewer question.
Yeah, because I don't know what the hell that means.
It's just a question because you're not going to win anything for this. Do you know the crab tree effect?
I don't know the crab tree.
You don't know.
Is that the shape of the vessel?
And I don't know.
As far as how... So they don't have the answer either?
Do they have the answer in there?
It's huge and long and over.
Who's that?
Yeah, I don't know.
Who gave that question that's huge and long?
Well, Halifax meant to do this question as a Stump the Brewer question, but I told him it's not a real question to me, but he just wanted to know if the brewer knew, and
no.
Now we found out the brewer doesn't know.
Mm-hmm.
So Halifax is going to be happy about that.
All right. So if
yeah, but he doesn't get a shirt.
Yeah, he doesn't get a shirt. If you want the answer to that, go to the chat room. You can look it up there.
It is in there.
Okay, good enough.
Huh. Is the all chat right. room archived?
No, it's not.
So if I logged on like an hour, I wouldn't see all the crap that's been talking?
No, sir.
Okay.
No, sir. But we can keep that window open for you there if you want to go back and look.
I would love you more than I do right now.
All right. Hey, why don't we wrap it up? What do you think? Next week, we got Moonlight coming in here,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Brian.
Where are they from?
Windsor.
Windsor?
Mm-hmm. Or Petaluma?
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go. Petaluma. Yeah, don't make it fancy.
Yes, Petaluma.
Hi, I'm from Windsor.
Yeah.
Don't we have to measure John's stomach?
Yeah, actually, we got to measure Christian's.
I'm a solid 33.
We got to do, if you don't mind, Christian, we always do a stomach right. measurement. It's a belly thing, and I'm in the lead so far. Nobody's beat me yet. Even Doc, what was Doc again? I can't ever remember, but he didn't beat me. I have the lead with a 39. So
39?
A 39.
I will probably beat you then.
You think so?
I'm a big fat pig.
All right, Petros. Aaron, I know you're going to beat me, right? Here, let me turn you on. Go for it. Aaron, what do you got?
I was going to say, you don't really look like a 39. I'm not sure.
No, I am,
you look more
though.
Like a slim 30.
It's a tall 39. It must be.
You wear it well.
It's there. I just hide it. That's all. I wear these like big shirts and stuff. What's Christian?
I think I got beat.
Christian's getting measured right now.
Am I on your belly? Am I good?
I wear lots of
long. As long as you're over the belly button.
Belly is awesome. It's a 41.
41!
Oh, my goodness.
That's 2 inches over me. Only That's a solid. Caller has you ever beaten me with a 49 or
but
something.
But he's a brewer. The belly isn't the waist.
Yeah. All right, you going to do Petros true. There? Do Aaron, too. I want to know Aaron.
I want to watch while you do Aaron.
Let's see this guy's. He's got a new he's got like a mural tattoo on his back, too, this guy.
Aaron is
one of these guys that like paints his whole family on 41. His back. He's a 41. Uh-huh. All right, see? Now I'm feeling
soon to be 36.
Yeah? That's your target?
That looks
I don't know.
Big.
We'll find out.
Yeah, that's a big belly there.
Well, thank you very much.
Aaron, by the way, is my partner in crime whenever I need help. Are you pushing that thing out, Petros?
Nope.
Holy smokes.
Because go ahead and
so
say
bad.
It. It's cool.
What is it?
How big?
Oh, yeah, I'm happy to say it's a 42.
42. Oh, that's right.
The thing is about Petros is that he doesn't look
I don't
like
want to
a
win
big
that
guy.
One.
He doesn't look like a skinny guy, but not like a big guy. But you got that thing sticking out there.
My stomach is up more. Okay.
I have up stomach disease. All right. Are you happy? You happy for pointing that out?
I meant look up for never.
All right, I'm getting measured right now. I can't talk too. Because when I talk, I suck it in, and I don't want to do that.
It's but it's on the inside that counts. It's you're up. Beautiful as you are.
You're low. You're too low. Come on, get up
you're
here.
You're beautiful, no matter what they say.
I think I'm down this week.
Lost one. You're only a 38 now.
Uh-huh.
Oh,
38.
Someone's not more desirable.
You know why? I ran out of beer this week.
I got more for you. Hold on, all
Thank
right?
Thank you, John.
Jesus. I got a brew monthly for you.
Yeah. And I appreciate it. So is my 38-inch belly that needs to be back to where
I'm
it's
sure
supposed
to be. I'm sure she appreciates it, too.
Everybody appreciates it. All right, so Moonlight next week. What's the brewer's name?
Brian.
He's the only guy at that operation, by the way.
The only guy? Oh, really?
Yeah.
At the whole place?
The whole place.
No kidding.
And when he shows up here, he'll be wearing his rubber boots.
Because he will have just come from work, right? Nice. I might wear mine, too, then, just so he feels comfortable.
That's it. Just boots.
We should all wear rubber boots. Yeah.
Boots and one glove. That's it.
That would be funny.
John, do you know what he's good for, like as far as our topic of discussion yet? Or are we going to figure that out in the next day or so?
Killer black beer. And he would
death
argue
in
don't
death in Texas.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Very
good.
That's the best breakfast beer.
Mm-hmm. And Lunatic Lager's really good. Yeah.
Is it a porter? Or
well,
something?
I said, is it a Schwartz beer? And he got pissed off, and then we got into politics. Mm-hmm. So he's very opinionated.
Okay.
And I'm really looking forward to talking politics with him next week.
Really?
Yes.
Can we make it like the fight show? Can we just fight the whole show?
I think you'll
Sunday,
have a blast.
Sunday.
Yeah. We have a good time. Yeah, the big fight show. It's going to be controversial then, huh?
Yeah, it's controversial.
All right, I like that.
We should just
the
have,
prince
like,
from Petaluma.
<That'd be good. laughs>
The prince from Petaluma.
Yeah. Versus the schlub from Pacheco.
Yeah, the schlub. Oh, my God.
I saw the sign. This is Pleasant Hill. Don't.
Oh, it's totally, yeah.
Don't church it up.
Thanks, buddy. All right, so next week, tune in for Moonlight. Christian, we really appreciate you coming in today. Thank you very much.
Thank good you. Beer. Great beer, man.
Great beer.
What is it? Is it just triplerock.com?
Yes, triplerock.com.
All right, so go ahead and check out triplerock.com. You can get there from our main page probably until Wednesday. That's usually when I'm putting the new brewer up there. So just click on the Triple Rock logo, and you'll get right to the pub. Head out there Thursdays, and you get an $8 liter. And if you drink 10 of them over time, you sissies, then you get to take the bottle home.
You can also take a full 3-liter bottle home.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Let's seriously go there.
This Thursday.
Let's make a date.
Effort. I'm in.
I'll challenge everyone.
I don't know
here
if I'm working or not. If I'm not working, I'm in.
You are working.
I'm working, Daniela says.
Never mind.
Well, Daniela will go in your place.
All right.
Yeah.
You're
John
right.
and I will take her for a date.
Great.
Will Daniela right. drink 10 liters in his place?
I don't
Dude,
think
she
so.
Will drink 10
I would
liters
love to go
before
with
we
you guys.
Park the
yeah.
car.
She's German.
Yeah.
I'm
going to
go
course.
With you, and I'm going to show you how I can drink 10 liters of beer.
Okay, please. I'm very interested to
that.
See.
Yes, you can see that.
I will like that very much.
You know what? Don't mimic me.
No.
Christian, are you there on Thursday
so
nights?
Much,
do you hang out, too?
No.
Are you going to be this Thursday to
you.
See her?
If you guys are going to be there, yeah, I'll probably hang out, I'm sure.
Now I got to get my shift covered, and I just started this damn job.
That'd be sweet.
All right, well, I guess you guys are going either way. That'll be cool. All right, so any of our local listeners, hey, go to Triple Rock. The brew crew is going to be there.
Thursday night.
The Brewcaster crew.
Yeah.
Thursday night at Triple Rock Brewery in Berkeley, California. Go to TripleRock.com. You'll find the address there and all about their beers. And, I don't know, join them for some good beer and food, right?
Yeah.
Okay, Christian, thanks a lot for
Thank
coming
you.
In here today. I hope you'll come back, and then we'll, you know, make sure we invite you.
That's September 1st, by the way.
That's sort of the way it goes. What's September 1st? This Thursday?
Yeah.
All right, so you guys know what time it is then, right?
John is a calendar, a walking calendar.
Yeah, I have a cell phone.
It's time for our favorite song on the planet. Thanks for tuning in. Chat room, as usual, you guys are great. I hear there was a few extra Aussies in there today, and I always like that.
Oh, that Aussie I was talking to you about.
Yeah.
Victorian Bitter, uh-huh. guy I meant, said, is the beer.
In Australia?
Australia.
Yeah, I've heard that.
You can't get it imported or exported, I should say, here.
Yeah.
But they said that's the beer.
That's like, yeah. I think it's their biggest brewery is okay. what it is. I don't know that all the Aussies say it's like the best beer on the planet or anything.
Okay.
But it's the biggest, I could be wrong, but it's the biggest brewery out there, I think.
Well, if there's any Aussies out there, yeah. try to get some here.
Aussies
States.
Are cool dudes. Yeah. Doing a lot
They make
them.
Great beer. That was my first introduction to real craft beer was when I was in Australia.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. That's I went out to Perth and I had this brewery called Swan was really good, and then Fremantle.
Okay.
Was really good. It was the first time I was introduced to, like, cask beer as well.
Okay.
And, yeah.
Nice.
It was good. The ones I took, how's it going?
Yeah.
You know, not, hey, what's up? How's it going, mate?
Yeah.
And they're all friendly, too.
Yeah. They're always friendly to us. The emails from them are always very different than our other emails, for example.
Right.
Like when I start slacking on things and I don't get stuff up, you know, I get angry emails, and then I get Australian emails. And the Australian emails are like, hey, just wondering if in between that beer you're drinking, you could do something.
You know? Very tactful.
Which maybe not, might not be anger just so much as like, well, that's what they're doing. That's yeah. when they get to things yeah. anyway, you know?
Well, it's a good point. Like, for example, if we had a bunch of them in the chat room today, they're all supposed to be working right now. It's like 11 or 12 in the day there. Right?
It's interesting. Like, when we do some business with a couple of shops, Dave's Homebrew out there and Grain and Grape out
yeah.
in Aussie.
Yeah.
Aussie land.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's like we were talking about wine season. Oh, yeah, we're gearing up for wine season. Oh, you know, September is like our March, and then, you know, they're kind of doing all these weird, it's like,
yeah.
You know, you kind of have this pigeonhole thing where you right. think America, that everyone is September.
And it's not.
No, totally not.
Yeah. And by the way, our Australian accents suck.
Yeah, well, mine.
You and me both.
You know,
sound more like an English milkmaid than anything else.
Isn't that what Australia really is? You know, yeah. A bunch of English milkmaid criminals.
It was founded on English milkmaids. Sorry, guys. I just thought that was funny.
Okay.
All right, we'll see you next week. Thanks again, Christian.
Thank you.
Cheers, everybody.
See you.
Hey, Lil is a friend of mine, and I sure like good barley wine. Chocolate porter, cherry stout. Don't you know what I am talking about? Don't you give me that American crude, for the one of real homebrew. Homebrew, don't you really love it? Homebrew, can't get enough of it. Homebrew, it blows my mind. I love homebrew all the time. Yeah, I think I have me. Well, I have the one right now. Get down, double and triple on my best friend. I think I'll have them all over again. But don't you give me that American crew, more than what a real homebrew. Homebrew, don't you really love that homebrew? Can't get enough of it. Homebrew, it blows my mind. I love homebrew all of the time. Yeah, I think I'll have it. Well, I'll have it one right now. We'll be right back. me a wheat beer on a hot summer day. A bar could do me when the skies are gray. I'll take a Belgian brew anytime, and the women things and lambic fine. But don't you give me that American crude, boys, I want a real home brew. Homebrew, don't you really love it better? Homebrew, can't get enough of it. Homebrew, it blows my mind. I love homebrew all of the time. Yeah, I think I'll have it. Well, I'm the one right now. Cherry stop, yeah, you know what I am talking about. But don't you give me that American crude, boys, I want a real homebrew. Homebrew, don't you really love that homebrew? Can't get enough of it. Homebrew, it blows my mind. I love homebrew all of the time. Yeah, I think I